Good afternoon, good evening, good morning. Any other times of day you want to make up in your fictional alternate realities, you make them up, people at home. Thank you for tuning in to From the Back Cave. I'm your host, Red Thunder Adam Gerard. And joining me this week, as they often do, in fact they always do, are my crew, the Just Us League, the Honey Badger, Terry O'Neill.
I got nowhere else to go.
The Dad Knight, Braden O'Hearn.
Hello.
And, unfortunately, Matt Depravy Richens.
Fucking stuck on an island still. Hi.
How is the island this week? If it's anything less than painful, which it's just not working.
It's fucking shit. I'm not going to lie. It's fucking, over it. I'm ready to, like, pull my fucking eyes out and feed them to the crocs.
Jesus, that's a bit harder than I wanted it to go, but...
It's gone that fucking hard, and, like, yeah, I'm fucking fair over this island, and somehow, because I missed the fucking opportunity last week, I'm here for another fucking 6 days, so, yeah.
You gotta catch that boat when it leaves, man.
That's right, there'll be smugglers there soon anyway. It's all good.
Cool.
They're there every third Tuesday, I think. So it's all good.
You just got to keep looking up, because I'm sure there'll be a helicopter fly over. You might not be able to hear it, but once it turns its lights on, then you'll be able to hear it.
Yeah, you'll be right.
I think that's my problem last week, is just like it turned its lights on way too late, like as it was leaving, not as it landed, so I just missed it.
Yeah. Oh, man, yeah, that's sad. But, that's Matt, you're stuck there for another week, so all I can say is it's got to be good times. Good on you, Matt.
what it needs to be is like fucking Disco Inferno, like, because it's fucking unbelievably hot here.
You did go. You went to Lian Pu. You went to the
volcano. Have you got off Lian Pu and back to Lian Tu?
Lian Tu is where the Frenchmen are. Then you've got the one to the west, which is Lian Zhu, where everything's really stingy. He wants to go back to Lian Yu.
No, what he wants to do is get on the boat with the Lian crew.
Ah, that's right.
So what island are you on right now, Matt?
Fuck this Lian Zhu then.
Lian Zhu?
I just don't give a fuck anymore, to be honest. I just want to get the fuck off this fucking hellhole.
So Matt, anyway, are you saying that that your spirit is broken?
I am a fucking broken man right now.
It's going to be one of those nights.
Anyway.
It's cold, I have no alcohol, and it's going to be one of those nights.
Where do you want to go? Are you cold and you don't have a jacket? All right. So, gentlemen, how has our week been this week, apart from Matt being on Leanne's shoe?
It's been good. It's been cold.
Yeah,
very cold.
Not too bad.
Very cold. It's been a good week on a podcast related subject. It's been a good week for fan interaction. I like it. It's been good.
It's been a good week overall. Good week for TV. Good week for good movie, I thought.
No, I didn't like TV this week, mainly because it made me feel like a little girl.
Okay. I'm sure you're not the only one.
My lord. My lord.
Some of us are pretty desensitized to things these days. Takes a lot more of that to make me cry.
Don't you lie to me. Don't you lie.
I'm not lying. I honestly, I managed to make it through without shedding a tear.
Yeah, but you were doing this.
The first time.
I won't cry.
Just because I have irritable bowel and I need to hold on to keep it in, you don't need to rub it. You know what, man? Some things need to stay off the show.
You don't need to rub one.
Okay? I do this to escape my irritable bowel, not to come here to talk about it, okay? Thank you for not bringing up the adult diaper that I'm wearing. I appreciate that. But there's just a time and a place for things, man. Okay? Privacy. Shit.
And furthermore to that, just because you taped Kleenex underneath your eyes so you didn't actually have to wipe your eyes doesn't mean you didn't cry.
This is true. Matt has a point. He's right, you know.
Whatever, you guys can be in touch with your feminine sides. All I'm saying is that I'm Batman and I don't cry over shit like that. I cry over important things like my family being shot, or you know, a letter from my dad.
Or Alfred
Rachel
leaving.
Loves me. He was gonna wait for me. No, my parents are dead.
Well,
fuck off. Batman doesn't cry.
I guess that brings us to this week on TV.
My name is Oliver Queen. After 5 years in hell, I have come home with only one goal: to save my city. To the rest of Starling City, I'm someone else. I am something else.
My name is Barry Allen, and I am the fastest man alive. A friend recently gave me the idea for a new name, and something tells me it's gonna catch on.
James Gordon, Alfred Pennyworth. We're gonna get the guy that did this, sir.
New boy, are you?
You'd say.
Good luck, mate.
Although, do you want to know what is going to make me cry?
When Fish Mooney comes back from Gotham?
That's the last week we're going to be using that This Week on TV clip.
You'll be okay.
I need a minute. Alright, so this week it was Flash.
Episode 23, Fast Enough. Barry visits Wells, where Wells describes their relationship in the future, why he killed Barry's mother, and why he ultimately had to help Barry become the Flash. Wells also propositions Barry, requesting help creating a wormhole where Wells can return to his time, where also allowing Barry to go back in time to save his mother. Barry and the team are conflicted, as this could alter the timeline in an undeterminable way. Barry decides to go through with it, so Wells informs him that he will need to turn on the particle accelerator and then hit super speed at the right velocity into a single hydrogen particle to create a wormhole. Barry will have less than 2 minutes to change the past, or the wormhole will create a black hole that could destroy the world. Barry successfully travels back in time, but his future self motions him not to save their mother. Instead, Barry identifies himself and reassures Nora that he is safe in the future before she dies. Barry returns and stops Wells from returning to his time. Before Wells can kill Barry, Eddie shoots himself, causing Wells, as he is reverted back to Eobard, to be erased from existence. The team is unable to prevent the black hole from being created, and Barry superspeeds into it in an effort to stop it. The end.
Quantum mechanics, quantum physics, and temporal physics. Oh my.
Oh, the physics.
Before I get into the things of science, gentlemen, what did you think of this week's Flash?
Fucking phenomenal.
That's how you end a season.
We talk about you don't think he should have gotten a car with Iris and just driven off into the distance.
That would have been a better.
Don't you fucking saddle me.
That would have been a phenomenal.
Or if he gets in the car with Iris and then goes and fires Hal Jordan.
Hmm.
Now Hal Jordan's coming to next season of Arrow.
Hmm.
Did you not listen to me last week?
Oh, no, I never listen to you.
That's why you know where it's last, son. That's why you're just a probie.
I actually did have a gripe with this episode, though.
Get out.
You only needed to watch the last 10 minutes.
No. Oh, well, that is true, actually.
I watched this probably about 3 or 4 times.
Yep.
Yeah. And after the second time... Sorry, when I say 3 or 4 times, I watched it the full episode 3 or 4 times. Twice.
Yep.
And I watched the last 10 minutes another couple of times after that. The whole first half an hour was them talking about what they were going to do.
Yeah.
And Caitlin and Ronnie getting married. Sorry, Caitlin and Ronnie getting married.
Ronnie!
She's ruining Firestorm with that.
God.
While we're on the topic of gripes, I have one that has to do with this episode. It doesn't take away from the episode, just a little something, but I feel the need to talk about it, you see, because it makes me upset, it's caused me pain, I've been to the doctor gave me some cream, had to rub the cream on, didn't help.
Ah, my nipples, they hurt! They hurt when I twist them!
It's this. You have that much money for your show, and you put that crap-ass wig on Killer Frost? I know she was only in it for 3 seconds, but I no. No, I say, you buy a decent wig... It's, you have the budget for a wig, you put it on her, and she looks better, you know? Just get the canary wig that Laura runs around in and part it on the other side. Don't do the cheap shit. Okay, that was just one. I just twisted my nips, but didn't take away from the
episode. Yeah, I was still aroused.
So was that?
She's good-looking blonde, yeah.
I was still aroused.
That's all right. You've got a thing for blondes. That's okay. Yeah, no, I agree with that comment. Like, the last 10 minutes is the only real important stuff. But, I mean, if you look at it from the fact that, you know, normal folk aren't like us, and we'll, like, where we go watch it, like...
Normal folk. This season, well, on E-Network. Normal folk. I just like to eat and...
cleanse my ovaries.
Have diabetes.
But, like...
Normal folk. This Sunday at 7.
But, like, people generally only watch it once. So, like, whereas we go back and, because of what we do, we overanalyze and we analyze it. So, we watch it about 3 or 4 times. So, but I do agree that, you know, the last 10 minutes were the important parts. But I did like the display, like the two fathers' displays of affection towards Barry and all that sort of stuff. It was good. You know, it was actually a very well estrogen fused episode. So it was good.
A little bit fangirly.
No. I wouldn't say fangirly.
Oh, no.
There was no real fangirliness about it. Like, I think you're saying it was more girly because your ovaries finally started to bleed, Matt.
It was more purist and lorist.
Sorry?
More purist and lorist, I would call it, than...
Absolutely.
You know, ovary or whatever. Well, like a fangirl. Olicity is fangirls.
This is
more paying tribute and paying homage to what Barry Allen in the comics would not choose to save his mother.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think
that's what, you know.
Yep.
I think that's what this is trying to.
Yeah.
It's more paying tribute to that as opposed to the fangirl side where it's like, well, he's meant to end up with this and this is what's meant to happen and this is what the source material says, but no, we're going to put it with this person because the girls have made a hashtag.
Yeah. The power of a hashtag, people. Fuck, not the court systems. The hashtag holds the most power in our society. But there's... This episode was jam-packed full of Cranston moments as well, which I found.
We'll get there.
Every single person on that show pretty much can get a Cranston for a different reason.
Yeah.
We'll get there. All right.
We will.
Well, let's get into the science.
All right, this is where I'm going to fall
asleep.
Because
there's something that I really appreciated this week, and that was that science fiction shows, on the whole, don't generally follow the actual... Like, there's certain rules with... time travel and paradoxes and all this sort of shit. There's a rule that science fiction has to allow because it's science fiction, and that's traveling back in time. Theoretically, you can never travel backwards in time. You can travel forward, but the problem with time travel, and just to break everybody's mind for a minute, the problem with trying to talk about time travel is that there is no such thing as time. We as humans made up time. So what they talk about when they talk about time travel is really more of what you can imagine as warp technology, because it's sending you... light years into light years beyond where you are in a second. So in terms of time travel, it's only time travel because it would take light X number of years to get there, but those years is something humans invented. So that's what actual time travel is. That's why you can only ever go forward, because you can't jump backwards in time. Space always moves outwards, and you can only move outwards. Like, even if you go from, say, Melbourne to here, like I drive to the Bradens and I drive back, I can't ever time travel backwards to the initial driving point, because that's already happened. You can only go to points that aren't theoretically fixed. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. So what they did right with the, so you excuse that and you allow the fact there's multiple barriers and shit like that. What they actually did that was right was when Steiner's talking about what can happen, like if you're there for more than 2 minutes, we're going to have a temporal paradox and XYZ is going to happen. The best way to explain it is based on the Back to the Future scenario, right? Now, Back to the Future, Marty goes back to the past and stops his parents ever meeting, so he needs to get them back together or he's going to fade out of existence, right? Now, the reason he doesn't automatically fade out of existence is because both parents are still alive, you can still put them together.
Mm.
You haven't actually broken anything, you've just flexed time, and flexed this timeline, as it were.
Mm.
What happens in this episode? What's that?
Lou Ferrigno effects.
Exactly. So there's a big flex that's happened, but it hasn't broken. So that's why you can still kind of fix it. That's why theoretically Wells can run back in time, kill Barry's mother, and everything still kind of works out because Barry is always going to become the Flash, whether it's theoretically, whether his mother stayed alive or not, he would have become the Flash because of the chemical experiment and XYZ.
Mm-hmm.
So he's predetermined to always become the Flash. So that's why that's fixed and that's fine. What Eddie does, so Barry goes in the future, doesn't save his mum, but does come back to stop Wells and does the hero thing. So he hasn't broke, nothing in time has changed. He's just told his mother something and had his closure, which is awesome. He comes back into the now, punches at Wells and whatever, and the world still doesn't break no matter what happens because it's still got this kind of status quo and nothing has really dramatically changed. So everything's stable. Eddie shoots himself and deletes Reverse Flash from ever being. Now, what that means is that Eobard Thawne never goes back in time to kill Barry's mother, and this is why that's important, because the reality that we're seeing, you can have an alternate number of realities, an unlimited number of alternate realities, but you can only ever stay within yours.
Mm.
You're never going to be able to travel to parallel universes. It just doesn't work. That's not how physics works.
Yep.
You can travel in your timeline, though. So because Eddie has ripped apart this timeline, and what has happened is that in this timeline, Nora's not dead, and a thousand other, like, Harrison Wells is still alive, his wife is still alive, a thousand things that the particle accelerator doesn't go off at that point, it goes off 10 years later, all that. He's basically broken fabric. He's broken the fabric of reality. And so now that world is eating itself. So basically that world stops being. Alternate realities still exist. There's probably a thousand other alternate realities where we have a Flash.
Mm.
It's just that this one is now negated from being because of how Eddie broke the fabric of reality by shooting himself.
Yeah.
So it's trying to reset itself. Yeah. So the only way that you can change that now is to actually go backwards in time, which is where it will tie into this Legends of Tomorrow and Rip Hunter, is they'll have the ability now to go backwards in time and stop Eddie. Somehow either stop Eddie shooting himself or somehow do something that alters that so that Eddie is still able to be alive.
Mm.
So you can still have Eobard Thawne in the future and all of that, because they'll just basically tape the timeline back up.
Bit of gaffer tape.
So what you've got to imagine is that at the moment, we're in the Back to the Future 2 future, where Biff has his casino.
Mum's got fake boobs, yeah.
So this big cloud that's ripping it apart is ultimately would be what would happen before you got Biff's casino, where the rest of it was rewritten.
Yeah.
That cloud would pass across, and whatever it pooped out basically would be that Biff timeline.
Yeah.
So that's why you have to go back to before Biff gets the almanac.
Yeah.
In this case, Eddie shooting himself is Biff's almanac.
Yeah.
You go back before Biff gets the almanac. You take the almanac first, therefore Biff can't get the money to change the reality. So Eddie can't shoot himself, he can't change reality, but you change something still so that there's you know, a climax that works, but everybody is still alive.
Yeah.
That's what ends up happening. And that's where we go next. But that's... What I really appreciate is, as I said, knowing and understanding these things, watching it happen, where you're like, damn, you actually did the right thing, as opposed to a lot of sci-fi shows where it's like somebody comes back and they shoot themselves and it's like, wow, I didn't see that coming. Let's go home, kids. So a little bit of quantum mechanics. I tried to keep it as condensed and as slim as I could, but that's some quantum mechanics there for you.
Pardon me. So... technically, does DC Legends of Tomorrow, that directly it's more concerning itself with the Flash storyline, or does it concern both, really?
I think it's kind of how it exists within that universe, so both universes matter, but it's its own.
Oh, okay.
I think it's meant to be its own show. I think each episode, I don't think it's a team up. I think one episode is on Ray, one episode's on Sierra, one episode's on Hawk Girls, you know, that sort of a thing. But the ultimate storyline is going to be, I think it's going to be the aftermath of whatever this wormhole thing has done.
Okay, so in another...
Because that's why they showed Captain Cold looking at it.
Mm.
That to me was the ultimate, like, yep, this ties in, because otherwise you don't need to show him going, what?
The 12 stages.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is another thing. Do you ever think, you knowing the crisis or the crises... Do you ever think do you ever think we're going to actually see a small screen adaptation of The Crisis, and will the Legends of Tomorrow be formed essentially for The Crisis?
Yes, I think
I wouldn't be surprised.
I think Supergirl is so pivotal in, especially Crisis 1. Supergirl's death is
because
each one of them relates to, or each one has at least one, if not two, deaths.
Yeah,
the first one is the death of Barry Allen and the death of Kara El.
Yeah.
they both die. They sacrifice themselves. Kara's body is still there.
Yeah.
And the famous image of, from the first the Crisis on Infinite Earths is Superman holding his cousin's body and just screaming.
Yeah.
And ultimately what happens is Barry realizes that the only way he can stop it is he has to run fast enough to outrun the issue.
Yeah.
But that he actually...
phased it.
Yeah, the whole crisis, each comic, he keeps popping up in people's timelines and screaming.
Yeah.
Like, famously, I think Batman's beating the shit out of the Joker.
Yeah.
And he just pops up in front of him and he's like, help me. And, like, Bruce looks up and is like, Flash? And he just turns into a, like, stands there screaming and turns into a skeleton and just, like, turns to dust and fades off. And Batman is like, what the hell? And that happens a few times, and it's not till you get to the end that you actually find out that Barry has run so fast he's vaporized himself into the Speed Force. Mm-hmm. But where that
he
ultimately
gets pulled back out by Wally West and Jay Garrick, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does. But ultimately, what that leads to is that while he's in the Speed Force, he has access to being the Speed Force, and he becomes the bolt of lightning that hits him.
I was about to actually ask if that was one of the things. Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah. So the first crisis chronologically, and I know these shows don't normally follow lore as accurately.
Flash seems to be better with it than Arrow. But.
Okay, so you think we'll have the crisis heavily involving Flash and chronologically release date-wise, how far away from like the beginning of Flash? Or
I imagine we won't see a crisis until we meet Wally West.
Okay.
So, because I think it will deal with Barry disappearing.
Okay, so maybe
then
four,
him
or five.
Pulling him out, yeah, four or five.
Well, we got the
We'll get the paradox before we start getting a crisis, because you're going to look at it. If they're going to do the crisis right, they're going to need to kill Supergirl.
Mm.
So you're going to need at least a couple of seasons of that for people to get invested in it.
Yeah.
So I'd say that's probably the test. Will be if that works, then we know. Yeah, we can build these characters into something bigger and better in the long run.
And from what I gathered, from what I took away from the scene where Barry goes to save Nora, with himself seeing himself and telling him to back off, I think that do you think that'll obviously directly relate into the paradox?
Absolutely.
Because it's wearing a different suit.
I think it will, but also that all that is the fact that what that tells me, both as a writer and an understander of comics, is that Barry survives whatever's going on with that cloud.
Yeah.
Because his future self knows I go back in time and I see this. And so he knows he's there. So all he's doing is just...
Yeah.
It's kind of... have you guys read or seen Harry Potter at all?
Yeah.
Okay. Harry Potter 3, you know how Harry thinks he sees his dad casting the Patronus, but it's just him in a different time, and it's not till he gets there that he realizes, oh, I'm the one that cast the Patronus.
Mm.
What it is Barry, old future Barry, knows that current Barry is behind that door.
Mm.
So when he opens the door, he's looking up and saying to him, it's okay.
Mm.
Like, you're going to be okay, just stay there, I've got this.
Mm.
He, like, you know, I know what's going on, it's all going to be okay.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's already had that interaction with his mum. He knows what he chooses to do, so he's like, stay there,
you're
going to get what you need.
Mm.
So all for him is, it's just, I know what happens next.
Okay. Cool.
So I think what that is when the version of Barry that said, no, don't do it, is the version that's just gone through the paradox and has gone back to stop him from saving his mother.
Maybe, it's just more because he doesn't really say don't do it, he more just says stay put.
Yeah.
More than anything.
Yeah.
That's kind of why he just doesn't say much of anything. It's more of an indication of just stay there, everything's going to be okay.
Yep.
I know what happens, everything's okay.
Yeah.
Mm. I guess the scenes that stood out for me in this episode were, aside from like where we're talking writing-wise, were the scene with where Barry goes to see his dad, and his dad's like, don't.
Yeah.
I would not give up any second of being in prison for you to be any less of the man you've become.
Mm.
And also the moment with Barry and
Joe,
where the heart felt like, you're my dad.
Yeah.
And, you know, Joe as his dad is like, I know it means that we won't be father and son, but you've wanted this your whole life.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
So just beautiful.
It was a bit of a tearjerker.
Mm. Oh, yeah. You can't deny that.
Indeed.
I can, because it didn't get me.
That's because you're ginger and have no soul.
That's very true. Yeah. I also think I'm just desensitized from dead bodies at this point. It's just like, whatever.
Yeah.
Sure.
I do have a small question in relation to Barry going back and seeing himself.
Yes.
Could he potentially set up a three-way between Iris and the two of himself?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
More than a three-way. He could have an infinite way, theoretically.
Oh, that island's not doing nice things to you, Matt, is it?
She can have a screaming.
Just every year, just go back to that same point, so you end up with this multiple, like, gangbang bukkake of freaking Flash and...
Fucking hell.
It'd be like getting a riddle
He'll
of bullets
to
the face.
Root himself.
He could.
Root himself while rooting Iris.
Yeah, well, he need Iris. We just got started while we were waiting for her to get here. He's sexy in that Flash suit, Barry. So do you, Barry. How do you think you with the idea of getting the
Barry
white
Allen
behind the Flash symbol, mate? It was just some jizz that went awry, and he was like, that looks alright.
It'll be the Barry Allen human centipede.
Oh. The rate his body processes food as well, just constant.
There's a visual for you.
Oh, Matt took us there. No, but honestly, it was I'd actually rate this as a better episode than the previous one, with the fight scene that we all love to replay.
Mm-hmm.
So it's phenomenal writing. It was phenomenal acting. But yeah, it was like the last 10 minutes.
Hat.
Sorry, and
that hat. JK.
Yes, the hat.
Yeah, we haven't talked about the hat. Let's talk about the hat.
And then
Wesley
Shipp came out, and it was magical.
A lot
it was great.
Just living the now, bro. Living the now. A lot of people don't know that that Reverse Flash, Eobard Thawne, is his actual first enemy is Jay Garrick.
Yeah.
That's why... So for those of you that haven't seen it or can't remember, a helmet comes flying out with kind of metallic wings on the side of it. That is actually the hat the original Flash Jay Garrick wears, and that's why when it comes out, Wells has that moment of like, well, I'm fucking out of here. Which I really enjoy, because for me, that I laughed. I knew he wasn't going to come through, obviously, but for me, I just like the fact that that was almost like of Jay Garrick sending a symbol to him of like, I know what you're doing. I have the ability to come there. Don't make me come there and kick the shit out of you myself.
Yeah.
Get the fuck out.
Yeah.
That's what I took it as. That's why when he saw it, he was like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
I know what follows that.
Yeah.
Kind of like the Loki moment of what are you afraid of? Hopefully fond of what follows it.
Yeah. See, I knew Jay Garrick wasn't coming out, but it was phenomenal, like, just the way it came out. It was great. And it's looking at it, like, I always thought they'd make it all chrome or all tin, but it was like chrome, like full polished chrome with golden wings. It looked fantastic. That was great.
When the comics,
bit of prop.
It has a very nice shine to it.
Yeah.
So...
Yeah,
I imagine that after every fight, he has to Mr. Sheen it.
He just sits there, just polishing his helmet.
Just buffing it.
Yeah. He comes
just
in.
Cleaning him a weapon.
Probably what makes him so mad. He's just like, fucking Eobard, this fucking mark isn't coming out. You dented it, you fuck. I have to get my panel beater's hammer out. Oh, I'm going to kick the shit out of that guy.
His wife comes in behind
it's
him.
Not even reverse, he goes first!
His wife comes in behind the door, and all she is like his shoulder is scrubbing back and forth. I'm polishing my helmet. Not like that.
Yeah, super speed.
Wouldn't you be worried that like, you just like generate so much heat you just melt through the thing?
Well, maybe it's made out of
the cobalt. Yep. Here we go. Here's one for a theory. Theories on our mate Eddie. What's the theory?
Eddie.
The theory I have is that obviously they're gonna resolve the paradox through. Or whatever you want to call it, I call it a paradox, not the Flashpoint paradox, just this paradox,
the current paradox.
They're gonna resolve that through the Rip Hunter thing.
Mm-hmm.
Eddie somehow is gonna fuse with that because they made a big thing about how they were lining the thing with cobalt, and Eddie's body got sucked in.
Yeah.
Excuse me. I think he's gonna fuse with the cobalt, and he is gonna be like everything about him says cobalt blue. Yeah, they might. And I don't know if they'll do the whole he's Barry's. They don't ever need to do the Barry's brother that was left in the hospital thing. They don't have to give it the convoluted comic book storyline. But you can still make him cobalt blue and have it be believable. The only other thing I can see it being is a kind of hybrid of like a Blue Beetle cyborg type character where somehow the cobalt fuses with him, so he has like he's almost made of cobalt or something fucking ridiculous.
Something crazy.
We got a nice another nice piece of information. Cisco's a metahuman.
Yes. Knew that was coming.
I think that's going to be very pivotal to the next season. With obviously we'll have alternate realities or alternate worlds.
Yeah.
And trying to work out who is from where and
we'll see
and
the Sisko being Vibe would make sense if you are going to do a crisis like you asked me earlier.
Yeah.
Because he can see, mm-hmm. he becomes that almost pariah who can see the ultimate alternate realities and yeah. whatever else.
Yep.
I did love the way that he tells Wells about him killing him, and Wells is like, I'm sorry, not for killing you, I'm sure I have my reasons.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's just like,
so sociopath.
Douche!
Yeah. And later on, I think it's interesting how Eobard, as he's deteriorating and being erased, he actually called for Sisko as well. So
did he? I didn't notice that. Sorry.
He goes,
yeah,
Sisko, help me. He actually
wow,
says, Sisko,
really?
Help me. Yeah, and Sisko's like, well, he's getting erased out of existence. Peace out. So
nice.
Yeah, yeah. Sisko steps back, doesn't he?
Yeah, he steps back, and yeah, just as he's being erased, he steps back. Luba goes, well, he's getting erased from the from existence.
That was...
And that's after he says, Sisko, help me.
Yeah.
So we'll go have a look at it later on.
Yeah, I'll check that out. It's just so much to enjoy about this. I like the fact that when Barry, like, you know, as Wells says to him, you're running through the
timeline.
No, it's called the Speed Force.
Oh, yeah.
Speed Force.
You're going to be able to see your past and your future at once, and we see the future events that at the moment is out of context, like the Flash Museum, Killer Frost, but we see Barry behind bars, which is a nice, like I say, a couple episodes ago we got told Oliver Queen lives to be 86. That's a nice piece of knowledge for us as fans, but what this also says is Barry's going to survive being in this wormhole.
Yep.
And somehow he's going to end up in prison. And I think he's going to end up in prison when he comes. That's what's going to be him coming out as the Flash. Because they're going to do the same thing they did with Oliver Queen, where it's like, we'll make an example of a damn vigilante.
Yeah. Yeah, it's actually quite interesting.
No one man is above the law, and then they're going to need him.
He's like, well, we need a Flash. Well, sorry.
Then his dad will be all right. It's all right. Got my helmet. That was just for you, Terry.
I know.
It's never going to happen.
I know. Just like Laurel and Oliver. Never happened.
But as long as this universe...
Just like Diggle and Green Lantern.
There's fuck you! There's a big... The big question I have now, and I mean, it's been confirmed through spoilers of who's still got cast contracts.
Yeah.
But the big question I had initially was, okay, you can still go back and rewrite time, but make it so Eobard never exists?
Yeah.
Do you do that? But obviously the answer is no, because we would not throw away Tom Cavanagh, and my answer to that is good.
Yeah.
Well
yes.
done. Smart,
I like
smart
to booking. See Tom Cavanagh as Harrison Wells, though. Not
Harrison Wells.
Shut up. I'd
yeah,
like to
I
see
want.
It, you jerk off, as Harrison Wells, not Eobard Thorne, but like I'd have to say Tom Cavanagh does a wonderful sociopath.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I want to see him
Will
back
you just call me a jerk off?
No, Adam. Because you haven't got a webcam, so you can't see the facial expressions.
I can't see
the
facial
expressions.
I'm covering it.
Dick hole. Thundercut. Vagina lips. Are you, like, smacking your head against the tablet?
The microphone, yes.
It doesn't work on a tablet, mate.
That works.
That's better, but that sounded more like the ominous knock of like a Klansman coming to your door to hang you.
There you go.
Nice. What the hell are you beating that thing against? Hey, I don't want to know.
Matt just killed a guy.
Just
Matt fucking, is
no, that was me. I was just hacking a fucking leg shank off the fucking gimp so I can cook it later on.
Still going.
He's turned to cannibalism. That thing must have gone gangrenous by now. Jesus, Matt.
And you drag him from island to island.
I had it.
He wears him in a backpack like Yoda. Or like, you know, he's got
I use him,
like
him as a flotation device, like, because the body's all bloated and whatnot, so he floats on water.
Oh.
So you're using him like a jerry can. Nice. All right. Well, have we got any thoughts we'd like, any further thoughts we'd like to share on Flash, or should we get to our awards for this week?
It's just a damn good episode.
Yeah, watch this whole season.
Jesse
O'Martin
is phenomenal
Flash.
In this, in the stepfather that. You know, if you had to be adopted by anyone, you would want to be adopted by Joe West on this one.
Mm.
That's just how that is.
Fucking, this is a proper season finale, not a series finale. Like,
yeah,
Arrow was a series finale. Like closure on all parts. Mm. Everything's happy. Everything's
no, that wasn't
pushing.
Closure. That was not closure.
It was closure.
But you know what I mean? Like, you don't have anything to want to look forward to at all.
Yeah, Jeez. You're not wrong.
It's like so Arrow was like being friends with you.
We're gonna have words when I get back, I'll tell you that.
Oh, I look forward to that. Have you been reading your thesaurus where you've been away?
The right motherfucker.
Shit.
You don't scare me. I don't. I look into your eyes and I don't see. I don't see. I see fear. That's what I see. I see a man who's scared of the fact that he looks like that. He looks like Chad Kroeger, and that he can't grow a beard. And it upsets him.
Listen here.
It upsets him, and he cries himself to sleep at night on his bloated corpse pillow like a wench fondler.
Was that the swear generator?
That was indeed the swear generator. So, let's get into the awards for this week. Gentlemen, what have you got for Cranston? Any Barbaras, first of all? Cranston's and Barbaras, any Barbaras?
I've got a Barbara.
Me too.
It's pretty much anyone on social media who jumps to conclusions without doing research in regards to the neck piece Eddie had. So that's
here we go.
That's it. Everyone's going, oh, it was a ring, it was a ring, and it's like, no, it's not. It's not a ring.
No, well, that's the thing. Eobard was telling the truth when he told Eddie basically nobody likes you, and if nobody likes you, they're not going to put a ring on it.
But no, it was a neck piece, and it was just like, what was it? We discovered it was an anchor or something.
It's an anchor.
It's an anchor.
Yeah. It looks to me like back in ye olde days of yore.
Of yore.
Like, say 1500.
Yeah.
Those, I believe, were the days of yore, about 1500.
And Prima Nocta, yeah.
Somebody like got a, you will have got a chunk of molten gold.
Yeah.
And a stamp and just been like, whoopash! That's how they made that shit. That's what it looks like to me. It's just an old ingot that's been, you know, it's stamped X. You know who Eddie could be?
What?
That would be interesting would be Hawkman.
Oh, yeah.
Because having an old ingot would make sense.
Mm.
I mean, you'd have to play with timeline a little bit, but I'm just saying it would make sense because that kind of amulet would be passed down, but it's an amulet more than it is a ring.
Yeah,
it's just a stamped piece of gold that he wears that obviously to me is a family heirloom because it's hundreds of years old when you look at it. It's very obviously hundreds of years old.
Yep, absolutely.
So that's what it is.
Did anyone notice Hawk Girl in this episode?
When she looked up at the sky, all like, woo!
Was that Hawk Girl, was it?
Yeah.
I was wondering why
Hawk Girl was in the city.
Hmm.
Yeah, she was probably all like, I remember things like this, but I don't know why.
She got some big-ass teeth on her.
She does.
Well,
it's supposed to resemble a beak, you know, Hawk
Girl.
What
I was going to say, they hunt with their beaks.
Yeah.
They're like, hunt. Well, I mean, they hump with whatever they want. They're eagles, but they're hawks.
Yeah, that's true.
They're just like, take it. I'm a fucking hawk. Stick it up your butt if I want to dry, and you'll enjoy it prison style.
Wow.
You'll enjoy it Leanne Shue style.
So, yeah, internet fanboys and fangirls get mine.
I have a nip for this week.
A nip?
A nip. Not a nip. A Barbara. What am I talking about?
Can I take a guess?
Yeah.
It's got to do with a wig.
Yeah. It's the fact, I don't know if I've talked about this on the show or not, but that fucking wig that they put on Killer Frost. What the fuck? It was a shit wig. I can't remember if I've said this. It's faded from my memory, but they could have not got bloody Laurel's wig and just put it on the other side.
So it's annoying you like a wiener plug?
It's a complete wiener plug. I'm not sure if I mentioned this or not, but that wig sucked. That
sucks. Sucks some dick. Anyone else got a Barbara?
I don't have a Barbara.
I don't have a Barbara either.
Are you making fun of me, Proby?
I'd never do such a thing.
Stop acting like a hoe packer.
Threatened me, Thor, with so puny a weapon.
All right, well, let's move on to the Cranstons. We'll throw it over first to Leanne Shue. What do you got, Matt?
Barry Allen gets
Barry
one.
Barry Aaron.
Barry Aaron.
Barry
Aaron.
Barry
Aaron. Or as Caitlin said,
Barry Allen. Barry.
Everybody!
Maybe that'll be the Firestorm one. The Firestorm one will be like, my name is Roddy, and I have a buddy named Stein.
Stein.
And sometimes we get together for adventures. It's Stein and Roddy! Firestorm, guys.
With a cheek 99 because
Barry gets Mike Cranston because he wanted to save his mother, and he listened to himself, and like as much as like everyone was telling him, do what you want, do what you feel is right. It's sort of what was right and what he wanted were complete opposites.
Inverses, and reverses, even.
They weren't reverses.
All these fucking reverses. But yeah, so he gets mine because he had that chance where he could have saved his mum and just completely fucked the timeline big time. But he said, look, no, I'm going to listen to myself. I'm not going to do it. And that takes a balls, like, to be in a position of power to where you could be saving someone that you love dearly from death and then just stand back and, like, shut the door and just be like, all right, I can't do this.
Mm. Yeah.
That sound effect that went with it as well. Whoa.
Mm.
You can hear a crunch as well. It's, oh.
Yep, you heard it. Well, I mean, that would have been hard for him. Deep,
so
that's down to the hilt.
You're breaking. You're probably. He's. I mean, let's be real. He stabs her. He doesn't stab her through the heart, but he stabs her near the heart. So he will have gone through a rib. He's probably punctured a lung. And if he's put it in deep enough, I imagine it was a kitchen knife, wasn't it?
Yeah. So I pumped out the other side.
So it's probably cracked a vertebra on its way out. So he's probably severed. That's probably why she's just lying there, because she's at that point she's paralyzed.
Yeah. Oh, paralyzed. Sorry, no, she puts her hands up around his face.
And that.
So it's probably just a fracture, then, along it. But still, like, you've probably had a crunch of a rib at least.
Yeah, it was horrible. But, I mean, no, I agree with you, Matt. It's good.
All right. Who else got Cranston's?
Everyone has Cranston's. Braden, who's Cranston's?
Everyone has. All right. I struggle with this because they all deserve Cranston's. They all had Cranston moments in this. But I think I'm going to go with John Wesley Shipp.
No,
John Wesley Shipp, okay.
John Wesley Shipp. Probably because he was the only one to say, no, don't do it. You know, the man you've become is so much more important than having your mum back. So, yeah, just don't do it. And I think that was, whilst he had a lot to gain for him actually going back and, you know, he gets his wife back, gets his family back, gets his freedom back. Yeah, he cares too much for Barry to let him do it.
Yep.
No, it's bang on.
Good one.
Bang on.
Yeah, good answers. Okay, I'll throw one out there. See, this was a hard one for me because there's a lot of great characters, a lot of great moments, a lot of great things happening. But I've decided for this week, I'm giving my Cranston to the writers. Because they wrote something so compelling that I was like, no, don't go on break, answer my questions now. And I like that. I like when you write something so good that I want to see more. So the Flash writers get my Cranston for this week.
It sort of brings to the point, like, where I was saying, whereas Arrow sort of left you like, well, I don't give a fuck what happens next season. Whereas this has instantly got you going, fuck, I gotta wait X amount of months until I see the next fucking season.
Yeah, I think the writers of Arrow are actually trying to start next season with a clean slate. So, I mean, it was a very horrible.
It better be a fucking phenomenal episode then.
It's
at the moment,
I mean,
like,
especially, you know, they've established themselves for, like, this is going on to Arrow, but they've established themselves as, like, a really decent show for three seasons. But and then they give us that, so obviously they're gonna want a completely clean slate. So whereas Flash has sort of got an advantage where they've got their writers have been able to study, you know, their mates over at Arrow for at that time probably two and a bit seasons, and then they can actually pick up, you know, where their slack is. So
true.
So I'm hoping it's a very fresh start on Arrow. Maybe then the show may get renamed Atom. You know, and it might be the story of Ray Palmer moving to Central City and, you know, mucking around with Cisco. But, you know, that'd be nice. My Cranston's. I'm probably going to late jump on Adams a little bit as well. Every individual actor on that episode will probably get a Cranston. I think John Wesley Shipp and Jesse L. Martin for playing those roles, those fathers that, you know, one's behind bars, and like Braden said, he's got a lot to gain for Barry to go back, but at the same time, he's, you know, being able to put on that performance, those performances, and crying on cue, and I'd assume both of them are fathers themselves, so they'd have to draw on a lot of experience. Grant Gustin definitely did phenomenal. He, the last three episodes, he's been a lot better than he ever has.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, he's just, he's matured a lot from his days on Glee. Did you know who was on Glee, Braden?
Get fucked.
So, yeah, so he's actually matured a lot. I forget his name, Carlos Valdez? Valdez, yeah. He was great. He played that sort of very much the wounded son sort of thing.
Mm. He's grown a lot, like Barry has too.
The character or the actor?
Oh, the actor.
Yeah. Caitlin wasn't as ditzy this week. Plus, also, so everyone gets Cranston. Cranston's for all, really. Especially the choice of music at Caitlin and Ronnie's wedding. I think it was Hunters and Collectors?
Crowded House.
Oh, it was a Crowded House.
Yep.
Don't Dream It's Over by Crowded House.
Was it? Yeah, that's the Finn boys, isn't it? Neil and Tim Finn. Yeah.
The Funs.
Yeah.
The Funs from New Zealand.
The Funs.
The Fun Brothers!
And Foreigners. They Foreigners are American band, aren't they?
Foreigners American, yeah.
Yeah, damn it. Because that would be nice to have like back-to-back episodes where like Australasian music has been used, but no.
No.
No. But no, it's been good song choice for the last two eps as well.
Yeah.
It's been damn good. So, yeah.
The music's normally pretty good on this show. They seem to find music. I liked it, but at the same time, it didn't really fit a wedding.
Well, I think for me, it actually sort of fitted the episode, because Hey Now, It's Over.
Don't Dream It's Over.
Oh, Don't Dream It's Over. You know what I mean. So, yeah. I kind of fit the episode. Plus, it's not a bad song. It's a Finn song.
Yeah.
It's done by the Finns.
One of the Finn
Hey
brothers,
now, best. Hey now.
Yeah.
Don't dream it. Dream it. Here.
So, yeah. So Flash, as a total, even I'll give a Cranston to the best boy and the gaffers on this one.
So the entire Flash team, yeah. Flash production head to toe, gets a Cranston.
Even the guy serving the coffee.
Man, if Matt hadn't killed the Gimp, he'd be doing a lot of smelting. We need a new Gimp for this much smelting.
Matt is actually bringing a new Gimp back. It's okay.
He better bring us a gimp.
A little
Hawaii. Because if you take a gimp, you come back with a gimp.
And so it's kind of like... It's,
take
so
a penny, leave a penny. Well, it's more just returning my stuff. I lent him my gimp. I lent him my trained gimp, and he killed it. So I want a gimp as trained, if not more trained, to come back. Yeah, not some fucking Lian Shu gimp. I want a proper quality gimp.
He brings you back one from each island. You got like Lava Boy, a trained cow...
That's fine.
A French and a Jewish one. It's good. You have many a gimp to fill the cellar. The goat. You have goat. Two goat. You get two goat.
Yeah, but here's the thing. I want...
No bird.
My gimp. This is not my gimp.
No bird.
I want my gimp. All right, well, I think that brings us to the end of this week on TV.
And now it's time for another edition of the DC Directory. This week's hero, Agent Liberty. Benjamin Lockwood was originally a CIA agent, but he grew to despise the agency after a mission he was on went sour. They disavowed his knowledge of him and his activities. Subsequently, he was held prisoner overseas for years, and when he finally managed to escape, the CIA refused to reinstate him. Dissatisfied with the US government, Lockwood joined the rogue political organization known as the Sons of Liberty. The Sons of Liberty provided Lockwood with a high-tech uniform and an arsenal, and he took on the identity of Agent Liberty to fight the corrupt government. When the Sons of Liberty ordered Lockwood to assassinate a politician, he refused and turned against the organization, leaking their secrets to the press. Lockwood fell into a depression after his ideals were betrayed for a second time by the Sons of Liberty. After some soul-searching, Lockwood resumed the mantle of Agent Liberty in times of great need, including the Infinite Crisis and the Battle of Metropolis. Though apparently killed by Superwoman, Agent Liberty's mission to preserve the American way endures. Agent Liberty is an idealist and a patriot, fighting to protect the country he loves and shape it according to his own principles. Agent Liberty's powers come from his equipment. His Liberty suit provides a bulletproof force field, and he is equipped with built-in arm blades. His jetpack allows flight, and his plasma pistol incinerates foes of freedom. Agent Liberty places his ideals before alliances. Once a member of the CIA and later Sons of Liberty, he now regards both groups as enemies. When necessary, he forms temporary alliances with superhero groups in order to combat a common foe. Agent Liberty opposes any perceived threat to his country, from supervillains to the US government, whom he views as corrupt and morally bankrupt. No enemy is safe. His extreme views and heavy-handed methods draw him into conflict with the other heroes who do not share his radical ideology. And that was this edition of the DC Directory. All right, well, there you have it, boys. Agent Liberty.
It's a bit of a different hero, really.
He is, isn't he?
It's never heard of him, to be
neither
honest.
Neither have I. I was going to say, yeah, first time I've heard of Agent Liberty myself, so...
I like the concept, though. It's a very different...
He always sounds like, not to the extreme, but the Punisher-level
hero. Yeah, it's government-sanctioned Punisher, almost.
Yeah, exactly. I like that.
It's nice. You know, the concept...
Got screwed over a couple of times.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's what happens when you work for the CIA.
That's it, you know. Yeah. You got to be a spook and you get treated like a spook.
Exactly.
So it's... I like the idea, actually, of that. Because there's a lot of... I mean, let's have a honest look about it. There's so many heroes and so many anti-heroes. Slightly dark horse sort of heroes. You can actually base a movie on.
Yeah.
And something like that could actually be quite interesting to have a look at.
Good, like an espionage type.
Yeah, as, like a Bond-esque spy versus spy.
Especially being
spy.
That he's a CIA. You have him going up against the CIA, you would kind of root for
and
him.
And then you've got like, then you have like that sort of underground militia-esque.
Yeah. And you give, you know, you have a play-by character with some charisma, like not necessarily Chris Pratt, but the Chris Pratt type.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, you know, he's quippy and Ryan Reynolds or something like that.
Yeah, you know. But like, it's
almost sort of sounds like Captain America, but you know how Captain America like senses nothing's quite right, but he's too loyal to the U.S. government and everything else.
Yeah.
Whereas so, this guy's like,
like a
same thing. Worked for the
yeah,
but he's been fucked over too many times to trust him. Whereas
he's loyal to whoever he believes is right.
Yeah, well, it sounds like he's just he's moralistic. So it's like, well, I live by my moral code, and as long as you stay within that, we're fine. But if you bring it outside of that, I'm gonna fuck your shit.
Yeah. I like the idea. And the uniform actually sounds quite basic but very cool. You know, jetpack, blades coming out of the arms.
Well, I'll put a picture of him up on our Facebook page.
Mm.
But just to give you an idea of what he does wear, it's basically a black suit with yellow gloves and kind of a yellow head mask piece with the Captain America style mask.
Mm-hmm.
He's got kind of like, you know, Manhunter wear, or He-Man wears the cross style chest piece. He's got one of those. They're blue. Mm-hmm. And in the center of it is a white star with a gold circle around.
So he
is a little bit Captain America, like even in the costume.
That's very cool. I kind of like doing this segment, you know, opening our eyes to different heroes and stuff. I actually had to do some research on one of our listeners' answers. But we'll get there at the end.
Well, I think that now brings us into this week's feature film.
And now for our feature presentation.
It seems to me we can't get enough of our boogeymen. What's your take on all these rumors we've been hearing about vampires?
If vampires existed, don't you think we would have found them by now? People want to be concerned. We should focus in on characters like the sociopath that we've been pursuing.
He believes that he is out there slaying monsters.
Why can't you just be nice?
Because the world isn't nice.
You're public enemy number one, Blade. We're gonna have to take on the rest of the world, too.
Don't shoot!
He's fought the war against darkness alone.
We use the humans to flush you out.
Until now.
Evening, ladies.
This way!
Who the hell are you people?
My name is Hannibal King, and this little hellion right here is Abigail.
Whistler's daughter.
I guess hunting just runs in our blood.
Your kids. What the hell makes you think you know about hunting vampires?
For starters, I used to be one.
Rookies.
Vampires were searching for the final solution. The original vampire. They found him. He was born perfect. This guy has never had to evolve. It's the end game, Blade.
Time for payback. Get ready to roll with this.
Blade, ready to die.
Since the day I was born.
That's right, this week it was Blade Trinity, which some people call the weakest of the Blade films, but we'll get into that in a little bit. First, let's kick it off with a synopsis. The film begins with an opening narration about Dracula. In the movies, Dracula wears a cape and some old English guy always manages to save the day at the last minute, crosses in holy water. But everybody knows the movies are full of shit. The truth is, it started with Blade and it ended with him. The rest of us were just along for the ride. The film starts with a collection of vampires looking for Drake, aka Dracula. They find him in Syria in a tomb where he retreated for sleep for quite some time. He is ultimately woken by the group. The vampires succeed in framing Blade for the killing of a familiar posing as a vampire, and a few days later the FBI attack his hideout. During this siege, Whistler destroys the hideout after being mortally wounded and dying in the ensuing explosion. Just like he did in the last two movies. With his mentor gone, Blade allows himself to be captured. As the police prepare to hand Blade over to a group of vampires, Blade is rescued by Hannibal King and Abigail Whistler. The two head a group of vampire hunters called the Night Stalkers, formed by Blade's mentor to assist him. King and Abigail reveal that Danica Talos, who was the vampire who bit King, has located the first vampire, Dracula, now called Drake. Talos hopes that by resurrecting him, Drake will help save the vampire race by producing more Daywalkers, and eliminate Blade in the process. In his first confrontation with Blade, Drake shows a sort of affinity for Blade, and they both are honourable warriors. Ironically, while Drake is delivering his speech about honour, he's hiding behind a baby he has taken hostage. During the chaos, King is incapacitated by Drake. Blade eventually learns of a bioweapon the Night Stalkers created called the Daystar. The weapon is capable of killing any and all vampires in a nearby area. However, there are two catches. The first is that Drake's blood must be infused with the virus. As he is the first vampire, his DNA is still pure, which, infused with Daystar, will make it work to maximum efficiency. The second, the virus has a possibility of killing Blade, as he is a half-vampire. Blade and Abigail learn of the final solution, which involves several hundred homeless people being kept alive in a chemically induced coma trapped in body bags. This keeps in line with vampires needing a live food source if the entire vampire race were to take over the world. Blade has them all put out of their misery, shutting down their life support. The two return to find the Night Stalkers have all been wiped out, with the only exception being Hannibal King, who has been kidnapped by Drake and a young girl named Zoe, the daughter of one of the Night Stalkers. Blade and Abigail go to the Talos building to save their friends. Meanwhile, King is chained in a torture chamber tortured for information about the Daystar. When this fails to get any information out of him, Talos threatens that she will bite King and leave him to feed on the child Zoe. Blade and Abigail eventually enter the building and the fighting begins. Abigail kills Danica Talos' brother Asher, and King kills Jarko Grimwood, aka Triple H, while Blade engages Drake in a sword battle. In the end, Blade impales Drake with the Daystar arrow and releases it into the air, killing all the nearby vampires, including Danica Talos. As Drake dies, he praises Blade for his fighting honor and tells him that through Blade, the vampire race will survive. Dying, he offers Blade a parting gift. He also warns him that the thirst will eventually win. As Blade fought honorably, Drake gives him a parting gift by transforming into a replica of Blade's body just before he dies. The FBI captures the body of who they think is Blade and thus call off their manhunt on him. In the morgue, Blade's body reverts to that of Drake's. Hannibal voiceovers tells the viewer that Blade is still out doing what he does and that the war will never end. Gentlemen, Blade Trinity, go.
Oh, this is a great Deadpool movie.
Sorry, yeah, you're right. Let me
this got me excited for Deadpool.
Deadpool, the movie.
Featuring Blade.
Go!
Honestly, this is... was one of my first forays into loving Ryan Reynolds and all that he does. I have no
regrets. Like, there's really only two guys who go on a pizza place and
I have no regrets.
Oh, no.
I have no regrets. And Jessica Biel in this. My lord. From Seventh Heaven to that.
See you!
Yeah, no, her and Thea.
When I see their happy faces smiling back at me.
So, myself and Adam were discussing while watching this movie, we decided to recall it, not only the Deadpool movie, it's the Deadpool and Thea Queen movie, basically.
Starring Blade. With John Diggle.
With John Diggle. Guest starring Heatwave, Chris Drake.
As I said last week, number one and number three, the two movies that I like out of this trinity. I do like the fact that Blade 2 seems very self-centered, and it's kind of like watching a two-hour movie of fucking Adam. You know, I don't want to watch an arrogant bastard for 2 hours.
I have two questions here. First of all, did I just get compared to Ryan Reynolds?
No.
No.
You got compared to Blade 2.
You got compared to Blade 2, a.k.a. Wesley Snipes in Blade 2.
I still don't know, that's actually not a bad thing.
Yeah. Thanks for taking the compliment. Secondly, Matt, why don't you go ahead and just eat yourself a big bag of dicks and then fuck your sister? Continue with what you were saying.
I'm not going to say that.
Fucking thunder cunt. Anyway.
or conversely, I'll fuck your sister and tell you what it was like.
I hope my sister never hears this.
Oh, no. Because she'll want to jump on the train. Everyone's a vitamin A injection, I understand. But look, you tell your sister that's not cool. I have a woman and she needs to just, like, be backing off.
She's also married with two kids, so you can.
Well,
fuck
look,
off
I'm
too.
Not gonna be. I'm not gonna be the cause of her marriage to break up. She can love me from afar.
Or
we're
gonna discuss our family and how we're gonna fuck each other. Like, what are we
I'm
doing
not
here?
Fucking you. That's look. You've been on that island too long, mate. It's not happening.
Your fucking fault. You started this. You have nothing but yourself to blame. Anyway, it was a good movie. I loved it. I like how there was a bit right at the start. He was over cocky and he shot the human. And Whistler was like, dude, you need to stop being such an arrogant fuck like Adam and chill the fuck out and get
there's
your
a reason
right.
They make movies about people like me and not people. There's a reason there's no Proby the movie. Well, you know why? Because everybody would be like, why the fuck am I watching the dumbass sidekick who lifts windows? Why am I watching that?
They made a TV series of it called NCIS, motherfucker.
No, but the show's about Gibbs. It's not about fucking Proby. It's not Proby walking into a scene being all like, dude, I don't know how to do anything. I wish I had skills, but I suck. Yeah, at life.
The movie's about
if I suck so hard at life, I'm literally a vampire because I suck the life out of other people with my shit skills.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Ginger Winger. Anyway. Anyway, again, I love this fucking movie. I reckon it was awesome. Ryan Reynolds played an awesome part and he had the best one line.
Deadpool was the best movie.
It's almost like watching like a younger version of Whistler.
Yeah.
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 Chris Christopherson looks so fucking right. Man, I tell you, he looks so right in that bloody 4x4. Well, not 4x4, what do you call it?
16-wheeler?
Thank you, that was it. Whatever. There you go. I'm not down with the street lingo for the trucks.
Sorry, I'm a truckie at heart. So, yeah, no, that comes from a movie.
Jacket Optimus Prime.
That comes from his movie experience, the masterpiece that is Convoy. So,
I heard he had a great big one, and he was trucking it through the night.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
yeah.
Did you see the Convoy?
No, I've actually seen Convoy, but yeah.
What a beautiful sight! Convoy, Convoy,
Convoy.
I did have some gripes with this movie.
Fuck you!
And I got a bit of chest chafage, and you know,
what?
A bit of
one sec,
Matt. Is something going on? Is something wrong?
Yeah, I'm hurting. hurting them. A little bit of pain. And, you know, they've been twisted so many times, I don't even know that they're going to grow back.
Oh, my nipples, they hurt! They hurt when I twist them!
Yes. Now, if you go back to Blade 2, they have the...
Sorry, go back to Adam the movie, you say?
Yeah. A cautionary tale.
Anyway, go back to Blade 2, and they have the genetic strain that they're trying to manipulate and create this super vampire. And it has that jaw that almost looks like Predator.
Yeah.
I can answer your question.
They have that again. My next problem with this is the fact that the Drake has that same fucking jaw as Blade 2, but I thought that the other dude was genetically modifying vampires to make this super vampire with this older jaw. So I don't know what the fuck is going on there.
All right, can I will answer in two parts. Is that okay with the floor?
Take as many as you need.
All right, so your first issue was the introduction of the genetics to other species. Is that correct?
Yes.
The answer is the fact that it's vampires. They do what they want.
Well, no,
fact that a vampire Pomeranian with that jaw is just fucking hilarious.
The other reason for it is that, okay, just look at it from they're still humans. At their core, they're vampires. They're vampire-human hybrids, but they still have a human brain system, right? Mm-hmm. Which means they think like humans, they do things like humans. What do humans test on first? Other humans or animals? Mm. That's why you have genetically modified animals, because they tested the shit on that to see what it would do, as opposed to like, killing each other or killing their food source.
Mm. I'm going to counter that with Torch of the Jews.
he does have a point, but that was eventual genocide. So unless you have a Hitler, unless you have a Hitler vampire,
wow,
there.
That.
So another thing, is Brayden frozen or is you still there?
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. You're moving. Sorry. The second point in regards to Drake's jaw being like that, you got to remember he's the perfect vampire, right? So in not necessarily modifying the embryos or the genetic code in number two, it is actually quite possible to unlock that part of the genetic code within.
All right.
Well, so if you look at that, unlocked a dormant genome within the mutation.
It's
that
kind
is
of like
that's automatically within Drake, because Drake is the person who's had this infection. Has all come from.
It also brings up the fact
Project
that
Zero.
Yeah, which is basically also brings up the point that we both spoke about while watching it, is why is Drake walking around in sunlight?
Yeah.
So you think about it, he's the perfect vampire. He didn't have to evolve. So
and
it's
that's
just,
why I think he hands the mantle to Blade, because Blade realistically was born.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
No, we're not having a go. It's just it is covered, and if you think of it as a scientific experiment.
It is a good question, but that's what I think it is, that the virus they have ultimately comes from something to do with Drake. Mm. You're gonna test it on animals, plus you gotta think if he got changed and he still had that dog, he'd probably turn the dog himself, so he'd be able to have his dog forever.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, fair.
No, it's a very good point, because trust me, like when I first saw it, I often wondered why and how. But now
they explain why Triple H had silver teeth?
I think it's more the gangster sort of look as well. Remember, 2013, we had like stuff like
grills and
that makes
sense.
Yeah,
if he bites his own tongue, he's fucked though.
Or was it something to do with in the first Blade where? What's his face? Dipshit, skinny features. I'm going to beat you up.
Yeah.
Oh, Richard, do teeth out. Yeah, maybe.
Yeah. That's true.
No,
that's very
well done.
You've
cracked the code.
Yeah, here we go.
That delay over in the Eastern China Sea is killing you. Spontaneity is no longer there. But no, that's some really actually decent
points. It's Matt.
Point.
Spontaneity wasn't there to begin with.
Yeah, that's true. It's fair points, man. That's actually. I actually think that's the only gripes that I actually initially, when I very first saw this movie, same thing. It was kind of like weird, but like as you get older, you actually be able to reason better. So,
fair call.
To be honest,
that was right. I liked this one because it was less of about Blade and more about how to fight the vampires. Mm.
This wasn't a horror film either. Mm.
No, it wasn't.
This felt more like a Captain America style one. Sorry, Brayden, what did you say?
I'd probably like this one the least out of the three.
Say what?
Yeah, yeah, I like this one the least out of the
Yeah,
three.
But the thing is, you gave the other ones huge ratings.
I knew that sound. Someone's flossing their brain.
I'm sensing a bit of a pattern here. Oh. Braden and the third movie, he doesn't like it.
Oh my god, that's why you don't want another kid.
Have you watched Back to the Future
3?
Crack
the code.
You've seen all three Back to the Futures?
Yep.
Which one's the worst?
You'd have to remind me which one's which, I honestly.
Back to the Future 1 is Marty needs to go 88 miles an hour and make sure his mother and wife kiss at the dance. Back to the Future 2 is Marty's got to go back and save his kids because his shit's all fucked up in the future. And Back to the Future 3 is the Wild West.
The Doc's alive! I mean, he's in the Old West, but he's alive!
And that's number 3.
I'd probably have to go back and watch the lot to answer that right now.
Do that and let us know.
Yeah, let us know.
Yeah, I will.
And then what you can do is watch the Jaws series, and you can tell me which one's the worst one. And then you can go watch Sharknado 1, 2, and 3. And then tell me which one's the worst one.
I reckon we challenge him to watch any trilogy available to him.
I want to go with, because we haven't got the fourth one yet. It comes out at the end of the year. I want to see if it breaks and if it's the fourth one or still the third. I want you to watch the three Daniel Craig Bond films. And then I want you to watch Spectre at the end of the year. And I want you to tell me if it holds true with that or if that's the exception to the rule.
Anyway, off topic. But anyway. Braden, you were going to shit can one of our favourite movies.
Yes. No, I'm not going to shit can it as much. I like the movie. I love the character. But I didn't feel like you look at number two and there was a real threat, you know? There was a threat of like an apocalypse almost.
This dude
a vampire
can steal
apocalypse.
A baby and he'll throw it at you. That's a threat.
That's a threat.
That's a legit threat. I'm more scared of that than I am of a guy who's like, "Burr, I stab you!" This guy's all like, "I'll throw a fucking baby. I don't care."
Yeah.
Who you can be more scared of in a real life situation? A dude who's yelling at you or a dude who's throwing infants?
Yeah, but you go, the first one was about the blood god and awakening the blood god so they'd, you know, take vampires to a new level.
And you know what? He had skinny-ass Deacon and Frost, and he took a 7-year-old Asian girl. That's nothing compared to an infant. That's pussy-level shit.
I'm going to agree with Adam here, because you've got the point. Similar to Batman, you're only as good as the villain.
The villain, yeah.
I reckon that Drake had a good chance of actually fucking Blade up. Because it wasn't there. I've dropped him in
the thing,
fight.
The thing is, though,
this dude is fucking strong.
Yeah, but the thing is, in this one, right, they were only after Blade. You know, there was the apocalypse in the last one. There was the blood god in the first one. In this one, they just wanted to go after Blade. It was all about
Sega. That's
because
they have to get rid of Blade bits before they can take over the world.
Never at any point did I feel like, oh my god, something bad might happen here. He didn't even get in each of the other ones. He'd actually caught and restrained by the vampires. And
you did.
If you're
going to
have a biochemical warfare against the world, are you going to attack the cure first, or are you just going to unleash the fucking virus?
I'm not disputing that. I'm just saying that I just didn't feel like, there was no, it wasn't threatening at all. It was just,
I'm just stirring shit.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. To counteract your point about the threat, Drake is probably the only villain thus far. I mean, close second to Normak from the second one. To actually take it to Blade real hard and actually pose an actual serious threat. Because the only
reason... he's big, too.
He's a big
dude. He wasn't on no fucking heroin diet.
Yeah. But, like, the only reason, if you look at it, the only reason that Blade got the one up is because Abby fired that arrow.
The retrovirus.
Fired the retrovirus.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. And but he was only there to fight Blade. What was he going to do after that? Go back to sleep?
That's essentially what Drake was. He was the vampire's hitman. Take this dude out. And he got close, man.
Yeah, but he's Dracula. He's... not a hitman. He's fucking first.
But Bane wants to fight Batman and destroy Batman because the biggest challenge is Batman. Dracula wants to fight the biggest challenge. Dracula doesn't fight for free. He's a prize fighter. And his prize is taking out Blade.
And if you watch, he wasn't actually he wasn't actually fighting for the other vampires either. He was fighting
and that's why
for his race.
It's the honor thing. It's two samurai going at each other. That's why at the end he's like, "You beat me. Well done. I'm going to let you get out of here."
Yep. Old age.
Yeah, I never had a moment in the movie where I thought things were going to sway the other way. Whereas
yeah,
I did
well,
in
I mean,
the
it's like a Blade movie. But let's face it, one thing, going back to Bond, it's like a Bond film. Do you ever really go, oh, he's not going to be able to do this?
Yeah.
Oh, man, Bond, I don't think he's going to pull this off. You're just like, yeah, fuck that bitch, then stop the bomb. Yeah.
I think the only Marvel movie that I can think of that's like that, that he doesn't really win, but wins sort of, is the first Captain America, yeah, where he ditches into the sea.
Yeah.
Like, he wins, but he doesn't.
Yeah. He had a date.
He's a hero.
He had a date. He's Eddie Thorne. Yeah. Oh, sorry. I wish this was a Twitch feed, because some of these faces that I'm making Adam Paul.
I'd love to see some of the faces that I'm making Adam Paul tonight, too.
Oh, yeah. But honestly, like, this movie's, what I've noticed is the Blade movies, they actually sort of stay away from time and dates as well. There's no clocks, there's no nothing, something like that, and everything's very modern-esque. I mean, I think 2000 through 2006 was actually a great time for, like, music and design, lighting, costuming, purely because always will feel that futuristic, a couple of years away sort of feeling. Like, if you look at the costuming of Blade,
yeah,
phenomenal. Abby, with her costuming, very simple Archer's kit, but down to the detail, yeah, down to the detail where, to help her make a better shot, the sleeves on her jacket would zip undone, and she's got that extra range of movement.
Mm.
You've got Ryan Reynolds' character, Hannibal King, or Deadpool, dressed very simply so he can move fast, and he's got the two gun holsters. You've got like essentially Oracle back at base with Summerfield. So it's all, if you watch it, the only thing that really dated it for me was Abby was updating her iPod and she was holding her iPod.
Yeah, it's like a Generation 2 or something.
Yeah, it's a Gen 2. But it's still that very timeless. Even the two motorbikes I noticed at the end, they're a Buell motorbike, which is a Harley Davidson. But it's, the way they're designed, if you actually knew the design of those motorcycles, they're actually very well engineered and they're very timeless in the way they're engineered. Like, the actual frame of it is the fuel tank. So that's the funny thing. So it's those little details they've put in.
Yeah, when I first watched that, I thought they were Ducatis.
No, they're Victor Buells. They were Harley's effort to break into the sports bike category. And they...
Yeah, right.
I think it was $25 million in the development of the very first one. The engineering on it.
Wow. Yeah,
absolutely phenomenal. Like, the brake rotor goes all the way around the wheel instead of just it being a little one in the middle of the wheel. Like, your fuel tank is, like, the frame is hollow, so when your fuel goes in, and as you use fuel, the weight is evenly distributed, taken into the whole frame. So, like, even it's those sort of details, and even the blood farm, you look at that, that's not really dated.
That blood
very
farm was
clinic.
Fucking... That, I looked at that, and I was like, it's legit.
Yeah.
It makes down to catheters and everything,
it's,
and you're like,
beautiful.
Oh,
it is... It's disgusting, but it's beautiful.
It looks amazing. This film of the three of them is the best looking. It's shot so nicely. It's framed so nicely. It's got nice colors.
Everything
is nice
as well.
I was almost thinking when I saw that blood farm. It, like, when I first saw that, and I was sort of like thinking, how the fuck did they do that? I almost thought for a second that they had all these catheters and breathing apparatus for people, and then they actually shrink wrapped them.
No, that is a those are what you would do. That's a vacuum seal pack. Remember how, I think it was like last year or year before, they brought out the whole vac pack thing where you could vacuum seal your.
Yeah.
That's exactly what that is. It's a vac pack.
So they probably are just vac packs.
Yeah,
like
they're brain dead things breathing through an artificial breathing tube in their neck, which is outside the bag, but the rest of them is just in a vacuum seal bag, so the meat doesn't go stale because all they're doing is pumping them with an IV and just letting the piss and the shit come out.
Yeah. So, like, that is actually probably a very real way that could be done.
No, let's be real. That is a way that probably, at the moment, somewhere there's a black market for human organs that exists like that.
Yep, absolutely. No ice baths, back sealed.
It's too fucking real to not
temperature-controlled environment, low humidity, one technician.
It'd be the way as well, theoretically, you could probably... not cryo-freeze, but give a longer life if you put somebody in a state like that and kind of...
They had cancer.
Not cryo-freeze them to the point, but if it's lower them enough, you could actually probably survive them out longer because their body would age slower.
Yeah, possibly.
You just got to crash a plane into some ice. That's all you got to do.
And if you get super soldier serum first, man, this isn't like an MS two weeks in the gym job.
3 weeks.
2 weeks for Anna Green.
It's one of these, and I like the fact this one's filmed during the day as well. It actually gives that contrast nicely compared to the other two, whereas Like we said, number two is very much about the club scene and unifying with the vampires to take out.
Well, also horror films happen at night.
Yeah. Whereas this was very comic. The colors were bright, didn't suffer from the Chris Nolan saturation issue.
Yep.
You know, and the reds are always very well pronounced, but always in costuming, not blood.
Yeah.
It's just those little intricate details for me that always made this movie really pop. And it is probably in one of my top 20.
Nice. Phenomenal.
It's great. And Ryan Reynolds' beard.
Oh, it's a brilliant.
Yeah.
It's beautiful. Second only to Chris Christopherson's.
In this film, maybe. I mean, not in the world of beards.
Oh, not in the world. No, in this film.
In this film.
In fact, I think they're the only two beards. But still.
Blade has a beard.
Yes. It's more like a pencil beard, really.
And I mean, some would argue that perhaps Jessica Biel is Justin Timberlake's beard.
This is true.
This is true. I wouldn't argue that because I think he's all about that poon.
That's fine. I've seen Dick in a Box, and I believe he is all about that poon. But we're not talking about that because this is pre JT. This is just after Seventh Heaven. So
just after what?
Gone from like Seventh Heaven, like where she was this. Good.
Sadly, the father went to court.
he went a bit too priest. He got too messed.
He went far too priest. He went full priest.
Too far.
You never go full priest.
You don't get that deep into character.
things.
It's kind of funny because with this movie, I think she went from Seventh Heaven, which was
she went from where?
Seventh Heaven. And she also did Texas Chainsaw Massacre reboot as well.
Yeah, she was.
So I was okay. So way to unstereotype yourself. So she did well. I mean,
love that one.
Mm. What, the Texas Chainsaw Massacre or Seventh Heaven?
Yeah, the Chainsaw Massacre.
Okay.
Fuck Seventh Heaven.
Fuck what?
Fuck that. Seventh Heaven. Anyway.
Oh, good lord.
Bad, it's Dawson's Creek.
What's wrong with Dawson's Creek? Nothing's wrong with Creek.
I'm talking about the playing of the music.
Sorry?
Talking about the playing of the music.
What, you missed the playing of the music? Is that what you're saying?
Scratch around to find it.
Do you miss it?
Do I miss it?
You miss Dawson's Creek?
No.
Braden?
Are you missing the creek?
Is that your problem? That you want some more Dawson's Creek in your life? Is that what's wrong?
Is that why you don't have three kids? Because you haven't watched Dawson's Creek enough?
Speaking of which, I want to go off on a sidetrack here. I remember just a little while ago, the mum night saw a posting online about Dawson's Creek. Did you let her get the DVDs, or did you ban her from getting Dawson's Creek?
No, yeah, that didn't happen.
Why?
Why not?
What's wrong with Dawson's Creek?
Son of a bitch.
Just happy to wait.
You know what, Brayden?
But I don't want to.
You know what? This right here, this is for your wife.
We're going to let it play out for the full 15 minutes.
It's the full 40, the full 43 seconds.
Headphones off.
What?
No,
I prefer Barry's Creek.
Stop ruining the Creek song.
We'll play it again.
I have the ability to loop. There it is again. See, I have to really do a loop. Don't test me. Don't test me, punks.
He'll go full loop. It's a great movie, this one.
Now, there is something about this movie I want to bring up, because I found it and I thought we could discuss it. This made quite a list, quite an important list, I would think. Have you gentlemen heard of Empire Magazine?
Unfortunately, I have. Douchebags.
What about the two gentlemen in the Eastern time zones? Have you heard of Empire Magazine?
I have.
No, I haven't.
Yes.
You haven't met Proby?
I'm not overly familiar with them, but I have heard of them.
They basically would be classified as one of the top three movie magazines. Mm-hmm. They recently put out a list of the 50 worst movies ever. This one came in at number 45.
And this
is what it says. It says, who's responsible? Director-screenwriter David S. Goyer, the man who's also responsible for co-writing the Dark Knight trilogy and The Last Man of Steel, and will also be responsible for co-writing Batman vs. Superman. Here we go. Why is it on the list? David Goyer takes the rap from this textbook example of franchise. The screenwriter's decision to step behind the camera backfires spectacularly in Blade's third outing, with Dracula roped in for a fiendishly silly vampire plot to infect humanity. Anyone else could fairly blame his scriptwriter for the muddy, incoherent storyline. Unfortunately for Goyer, that's him too. Redeeming the feature, the epithet cock-juggling thundercunt thrown at an otherwise wasted Parker Posey by an improbably abbed up Ryan Reynolds. What the critics said, well, it's no Spider-Man 2, X-Men Tour The Incredibles. The premise of a superhero greeted with a hostile public might have carried some novelty, but Blade Trinity does nothing more ambitious than continue a spluttering franchise.
What was it ahead of?
Wow.
Where did it be? What was 46?
What was 46? Okay, 46. Just gotta wait for it to load.
You didn't expect me to ask that question, did you?
The Proby's not here running on the hamster wheel. Howard the Duck? It beat Howard the Duck at 46.
Oh, my fucking God.
Jesus Christ.
So that's a good one.
Howard the Duck was horrible.
I gotta admit, it's a better film than Howard the Duck. All right, at 47, Soul Plane with Snoop Dogg.
Oh, that's a horrible movie.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh my god. Blade's got some terrible company here. If Geely... Oh, no, yeah, Geely a bit number one. Number 48, Town and Country with Charlton Heston.
Hold on.
Oh, that's the one where it's all about, you can't take my gun, this is America!
Yeah, that's right. Hold on, How the Duck came in at 46.
Yeah.
Does that mean it's better?
No. Yeah, but How the Duck is better than...
Blade
Trinity. All the Showgirls at 49.
That's because of boobs.
Well, that's a good film because of boobs.
Because of boobs. And superb acting, of course.
It's got Agent Dale Cooper from Twin Peaks getting a lap dance. I just like to imagine it's a really fucked up episode of Twin Peaks.
Yeah.
And number 50, Spider-Man 3.
So they're saying Spider-Man 3, this is what's in my head. So 50 being better and 1 being the ultimately shit
movie. One is the worst film. Actually, while you talk about this, I'm going to find out what 1 is. But yeah, one is ultimately the worst film ever made of all time.
Spider-Man 3, which is arguably the most shit fucking comic movie I've ever seen in my life.
You haven't seen Catwoman? We continue.
No, I refuse to actually see that. So
you'll have to watch it for this.
No, don't make me do that.
For face.
And then we've got... So Howard the Ducks beat it. Spider-Man 3's beat it. Showgirl has beat it.
Town and Country or whatever it is.
Town and Country.
They're not taking my gun movie beat it.
Who wrote this fucking list?
Empire Magazine.
Bunch of pack of retards.
Sure, it's not Movie Pilot.
Nah, it's Empire Magazine.
No, there's nothing about Glee in this, although they did. Oh, number one, the worst movie ever made, Batman and Robin.
Don't disagree. Where'd they get
that's
that
fair.
Photo from? Is that gold? Or got
something
that
right,
no, it's silver.
Oh, okay,
it's
from
silver.
Here it looks gold.
Is it black and blue or white and gold? That's a timely one for you.
Yeah.
Well, I killed the conversation with that.
Yeah, no shit. Who wants to talk about domestic violence at times like this? We've got comics to read. That's the one place that you find. Oh, this movie is just great. That's the thing.
Yeah, I'd agree with it being on this list.
Nah, I think I'd say I'd put
I
it in the
shenanigans.
I'd put it in the top 60 of all time. Probably at number 60, but for me, no, just because it's so well shot. Even now in
nice
high
movie.
Def, like we watched in high def.
Yep, I watched it in all the P's.
In all the P's, every P.
As many P's, I had a farmer out there picking P's for me.
Fantastic. and it still looked great, that's the thing. It still looked great. Normally you take older movies, even from 10 years ago, put them through high def.
Yeah.
They look a bit shitty.
Number 2 on this list was Battlefield Earth, so it is kind of legit at the top end by the look
of
it.
So they gave a shit about the top 3.
Yeah.
But that's the thing. This is a great movie. It really is. Maybe it's just that my simplistic non-art.
I would tell people to watch it. We've reviewed some bad shit on this, and I've told don't watch it.
I'm telling people to watch this.
Watch it.
You watch it.
Watch it just alone to be like, man, Deadpool's going to be great. Watch it as a teaser for how good Deadpool is going to be.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because that, like, the bit where he makes his entrance first time, Hannibal makes his entrance, like there's a comment, like, I think it's Parker Posey makes a comment where she's like,
Hannibal fucking gang!
No, she's like, nobody's going to come save you. And then he comes busting through the window, and all I had in my head was literally, I can see that exact scene in Deadpool where at the beginning of it, somebody's going to be getting beaten up and tortured and shit. And they'll be like, nobody's going to come save you. And this window will bust through a Deadpool coming, it'll freeze frame, like, and chorus of music will be like, Deadpool! And it comes through and be like, hey, bitches, I'm Deadpool!
I swear to God, if that scene is not in the movie,
yeah.
What's that?
You can take a frosted-coated fuck from the end of my dick.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a great loving relationship right there. That's
how about not everyone say the dick anymore?
It incurs my envy.
Has anybody here played the Deadpool game? For instance, I've played it.
Should we just finish?
No.
I have it right in my hands right now.
You got it hidden from the kids, which is good.
Yeah. Well, I actually forgot that I had this, and
you haven't played it yet.
No, I haven't played it. Found it on top of the fridge today, and I'm like, huh.
Play it. And then imagine it's Ryan Reynolds' voice doing the Deadpool and the two voices in his head.
Yeah.
Seriously, play it, and you'll just be like, you'll be with me on the fact of if this movie does not make the most money of all time, the world does not deserve to be around, and we need to just blow it the fuck. We need to get Eddie to shoot himself, and the world can just fuck off.
So I'm yet to buy it myself. I'm yet to buy it. I'll hijack your PS4 for it.
I'm stuck on fucking Leanne Shue, so I can't buy shit at the moment.
There's a present on your bed for when you get back.
Shit.
I don't want your curse.
Shit.
Bella took a dump. honestly. Really? Matt, have you got anything to add about this movie before we continue our banter?
No. As I said, I like this one. My only gripe was...
It's been rectified.
Well, let's hand out some awards then, shall we? Let's first of all start with the Barbaras, and I want to hand one out. This one's a personal one. He goes to Parker Posey, and it goes to her. Doesn't go to her for anything she did in this movie, apart from the fact she looked like one of my psycho ace girlfriends, and this movie made me confront a lot of feelings and also explained a lot, because I'm like, yeah, maybe she was a psychopathic vampire cunt. But, yeah, I know we've used that word a lot, but she was, man. She was fucking mental, and this movie scared me. It was too real. It made it too real for me, and she looked exactly like her.
Like Joe pointing the gun at himself last week?
Yeah, Joe pointing the gun himself level was a real man. I almost quit. Like I said, so many things made me quit, but I was like, I got away from this bitch for a reason. I don't want to be another 2 more hours with her. 2 more seconds with her would make me want to take the job option out and be like, God, please, let me point the gun at myself. Please! So she gets my Barbara.
Fair.
Cool.
What do you guys got? Any Barbaras?
Yeah, I've got one. I'm going to give it to Dr. Edgar Vance.
Yes.
I'm glad that he got killed.
Did you feel like when you're watching this, right, that he felt like the doctor from The Dark Knight Returns? You know, the one that wanted to interview the Joker and then takes him on the Tonight Show and the Joker blows his head off?
Actually, hold on.
Probably
a mixture between him and Jonathan Crane in Batman Begins. Because he's just like, nah, he's nuts, needs to be locked away.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, true.
That's fair. Oh.
Mine goes to the guy that Blade shoots outside the blood farm.
The commissioner.
Whatever.
Hello, commissioner.
You got 20 to run.
One.
20.
Boom.
20.
That's one. Yeah, that's right.
He's the biggest bitch in that. They'll kill me. They'll kill me. I'll kill you. Okay.
I'll kill you, motherfucker.
Motherfucker, I'll kill you. I love it when he goes I love when Wesley goes full black in this. It's great. It's so good. Oh, God.
I just remembered another sort of thing that pissed me off in the movies and in this movie, and I'm going to sort of give a Barbara to the writers for doing this, but they gave a blind person a computer.
If you notice, everything is on Braille on her
screen.
I mean,
No. I'm going to counter that with this, Matt. You want a bit of real? There's actually a newscaster. I can't remember. I think she works for Triple J.
Yes, I do.
She's blind. It's, she's got the computer that gives her an audio feed and like touch sensitive and shit, so that she's got vibrations and stuff to talk to her.
That's fine, but she's giving a presentation to the Night Stalkers or whatever the frick they're called.
Yeah,
and she's bringing up stuff on the screen. How the fuck does she know that it's A, on the screen, and B, in a position where someone can read it?
That's fair, actually. That's,
okay, yeah, I'll give you that. I'll give you that. You get a point there.
Yeah, that's cool.
I don't mind if you've got a blind tech person, but you can't have a blind tech person give a computer presentation on a screen that you can't fucking tell if it's working or not, or if it's even fucking on.
Mm. No, well, they cut out the first 5 minutes while they were like, the screensaver.
Mm.
And then like, no, you've got it to the wrong input. It's just saying nothing. Come on.
So you
got to
put
RGB.
No,
it's not even. Can we turn the Blu-rays off? The Blu-rays are washing out.
Oh, fucking dope.
No, you've got it on AV. It has to be HDMI1.
The speaker, it's muted. It's muted. Turn it off.
God damn it. Okay, you've got to adjust the colours because it's just in fucking red. Come on, seriously, how hard is your job? I know you're blind, but fuck, pick up your slack. Have I lost this?
No, sorry, I was doing research.
Alright.
I had to find the character's name.
Alright, so who's yours?
Hedges.
Patton Oswalt.
You tubby little fuck. And no way you've had sex. With women, in fact. You know, there's just... hate him.
That's a basketball player, either. That doesn't make sense.
Yeah, I don't understand. He's too fat and too white. But
you found another piece of information about him today that you didn't know.
Yeah,
he's the director of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah, is
or some shit.
Yeah, he's in S.H.I.E.L.D. somewhere, and I still don't understand.
Brayden, you've watched Agents
of S.H.I.E.L.D. Yeah, he was.
Did he die?
I don't remember. He was at the end of the first season, and I believe he might have even been a clone from memory. I could be wrong.
So he's
can't
even be a proper agent.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah,
cloning process, did they just pump him? Did they pump him too full of vitamins and he like gorged, kind of like a chicken farm?
I don't know. I blocked it out of my memory. I can't remember.
No, he gets my Barbara. He's just. I know he's a character that's just lightly in there, but it's just he felt unnecessary.
You were just unnecessary.
Just unnecessary.
They needed someone to
kill. He does get killed.
Same with the black driver. The black driver I liked. He had personality.
There were some serious tokens in this.
There was a lot of tokens.
He was just
the tubby white tech.
He liked the main
Not this again.
The tubby white tech dude. The black driver. The Russian driver. The child who said, "My friends are coming to kill you." That still freaks me out.
The daughter who comes back in like the third film, even though you haven't really heard about her before, but she's there and whatnot.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Yep. The only thing creepier than that girl that says, my friends are going to come to kill you, is the Red Queen out of fucking Resident Evil.
The what? Say that
You're
again?
All going,
Red Queen.
The Red Queen out of Resident Evil. You're all going to die down here.
Yeah, that's right. I haven't played Resident Evil in years. So yeah, no.
No, this is from the movie.
Matt's only got a PS1 down there. So.
PS.5. in fact, it's just a PlayStation.
PS1 is dumbass.
No, that's why. No, there was PlayStation, then there was PS1. There was literally a PS1. It was actually a
That's
small.
PSX, bro.
No, it wasn't. It was
whatever,
PS1.
Man. A PlayStation and a PS1 are the same thing.
No, they were different.
You're a jackass.
You're such a Jew bagger.
Adam,
it's like saying there's different.
Wrong,
the PS3s are different, but they came in different shapes and sizes.
No, like, literally saying PS1 on it. That's what I'm saying.
An Xbox and an Xbox One, yet they are not the fucking same.
Oh god, you've just kicked the hornet's nest. Shit. I went from simple trolling. You've gone too far.
Move on, bat sack.
Matt, when
quick, next.
When you come back, I'm gonna punchicize your face for free. And then I'm gonna make you get me a liter of cola. And if you don't know that's a size of a brand, that's on you.
A liter of cola?
I want a liter of cola.
Do we even sell
a
liter of cola?
I want a fucking liter of cola!
You want spit or no spit in your burger?
Liter is French, but get me some fucking cola!
Before I break both fucking lips! He's just angry because the dog's dick is bigger than his.
So yeah, it just gets my Barbara.
Good answer. All right, Brayden, you got a Barbara?
I gave you my Barbara.
You're up next.
I handed out my Barbara, Parker Posey.
Oh, that's right. So it's Matt. No, Matt. No, you haven't given any Barbara, have you? Yeah, have you?
Yeah, yeah, I have.
No, Brayden hasn't
given out his Barbara.
I gave you my Barbara. I said, what's his name? Doctor.
Yeah, Vance. Oh, that's right. Yeah, so we're
okay,
done.
Okay, cool. So we're done.
Okay, good. Fuck you.
Whatever. I got angry, okay? Fuck you all. This film has toyed with my emotions.
Go have your fucking MS breakdown outside. Fuck off.
Hey, cranky Adam, he's cranky.
How are you giving Chris to see you bunch of fuckbags? You know what?
Deadpool.
Suck me, beautiful.
Alright.
So Brayden's giving it to
Brayden,
Deadpool.
Go first. You're giving it to Deadpool?
Yep, Deadpool.
Nice.
Good answer, good answer. Maddie, you got a reason? Or you just got Deadpool and dropping the mic?
Yep.
All right, Matt, who are you giving yours to?
Yeah, I'm going to have to give it to Deadpool as well, because not only does he, like, suck it up to the vampires, like, just completely fucks with them constantly and constantly just, like, you know what, it's in my right ass cheek. No, wait, it's in my left. No, seriously, it's just slapped in higher ass. Than my left.
Just above the Hello Kitty tattoo.
I think it's legitimately, though, in his ass. I don't think he's kidding at that point.
No, it is. Yeah. Okay, so he's got Deadpool.
Okay. Yeah. Who are you giving yours to, Terry?
Deadpool was too obvious. Yeah. Wesley Snipes was too obvious. I'm giving it to Jessica Biel.
Seven heaven.
For her heavenly, shapely butt and that shower scene. No, I just think she did really well in this movie, especially it's like her second or maybe third outing from being on a Christian TV show to swap mindsets to this sort of context and whatnot. I think she did phenomenally well.
I think so too.
Yeah, and I'm obviously...
It was good to have a strong female character.
Sorry?
It was good to have a strong female character.
You mean Felicity's not strong enough for you?
She wore the Adam suit. She's like super strong.
She's like totally... Like, and Oliver and her are going to leave to France, and they're going to have babies, and that's when they're going to have
That's all Diggles ever wanted.
Diggles just wanted to
sit in France and watch them drink coffee so he could get up and walk away.
Please. You know what? I'm going to learn how to Photoshop shit, and I'm going to Photoshop that scene just to fuck with him. In fact, I'm doing
Felicity.
It tonight.
Felicity is the wannabe Pepper Potts. She's late jumping on Pepper Potts.
She's late jumping on Oliver Queen tonight. Braden's mad about it.
In France.
And well, he's all like, oh, I feel this is my trick arrow. It's the splooge arrow. Feel it coming.
I feel that Felicity hasn't even had a shower since Ray yet.
Actually, we've never seen her have
Ever. I don't know. That's not a common way. I haven't seen the man shower. I don't know what you want from this big brother like arrow.
Coming
up tonight on Arrow and
I think what he's saying is she hasn't had time for one from since between
Ray
and
Oliver.
She might have had a douching in Nanda Parbat. Stuck a hose up there or something.
Nanda Parbat is pretty much next door to Bloody Parmesan.
You know your siphon petrol, you just stick a hose into a petrol tank and suck a little bit and it siphons it out. She's done that. So
actually, no, she's like the fucking... the. Okay, Oliver Queen is like the... fish in the fish kingdom where the fish sucks out the semen of the other man before they have sex with the fish again. What? there's a fish that the male fish will suck the semen out of the female fish first and spit it out so that he has more of a chance of being a father than the other fish.
Now, Matt, when you say fish, do you mean you?
This is what they do.
Is
on
this
Lee
code
Ann.
Like what it's like? You know, a friend of mine. He's got this weird.
I'll find this information. I'll put it on the fucking
Arthur Curry. That's what Arthur Curry does.
But there is.
Matt. Can you do me a favor and look up normal porn like the rest of us, please? It's good. I don't want to have to report you to the cops for being weird. Can you, because you're weird. You know, I need to clean this place up a little bit. Hang on. We've got to go back, get it a little bit clean. Let's bring Jesus back.
Going to jail. So.
Yeah, good answer. Good answer. Okay. So my criticism for this week, for this film. It was tough. I really did think about giving it to Deadpool.
You want to give it to Triple H?
No. Triple H nearly got my Barbara.
For the hair?
He nearly got my Barbara because it's not like The Rock who became an actor.
Mm.
This is Triple H, WWE Triple H, and he is a stunt double to go through like a little bit of a plywood wall.
Yeah.
Mate. I watched you go through fucking
tables.
Car doors, tables. Like almost glass windows, yeah. Slam yourself on concrete,
yep.
Go over barricades, get hit with chairs,
yep.
And you can't take a little bit of fucking
I can guarantee that was in the movie contract that Vince McMahon would have made him sign.
I got MS. I could take a bit of plywood, mate. Just saying, man up.
So next week's promo.
And my respect.
We're putting Adam through a table.
A flaming
and
table.
He couldn't take a bit of lift from Ryan Reynolds either.
No, he couldn't.
Right. But Ryan Reynolds said one line, and he's like, "Fuck you, fuckface," and kicks him in the jaw. It's like, come on, dude.
He had just killed his
dog. If you're
dog.
That big, you don't need to be like, "That hurt for feeling."
Hey, fuckface, anyway. Where's my dog? Have you tried the lobby?
Hey, it's a serious question. My dog. Where's my dog? This is not my dog.
My dog.
You kick my dog. I'll do it.
I want one of those Rottweilers as a guard dog. That's all I'm saying.
Sideways.
The little dog was scarier.
It's true.
You see a little dog go with a jaw that goes like that, and you're like, holy shit, what else is in this house? It's probably a tiger. I'm fucking off.
That's true. All right, so you're up to your Cranston, sir.
Yeah, so I thought about giving it to Deadpool. I thought about giving it to Jessica Biel. I even thought about giving it to Whistler. I went through all these people of who can I give it to? Who ultimately gets the Cranston? The key opponent.
I know who it is.
Who gets all that you need out of this film? Do you know who it is? Who is it, Matt?
Where's the Snipes?
It's Drake.
Heatwave.
It's Drake. Because, for all the reasons Braden is wrong about, he's the first villain that looked like he could take Blade. He took it to Blade, and for the first time out of all of these villains, Blade has beat him, and he's been the bigger man and been like, well done. It's almost the Ra's al Ghul of like, well done. You
can take the mantle of Drake.
You deserve to be here. Mm. And that moment where he's like, oh my God, you know, where you get the father gets bested by the son, as is the circle of life. It was like, wow, I was so focused on wanting to find the dominant vampire.
Mm.
My peer was here all the time and I got too wound up in the fight to notice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I really appreciate that. And this was what they didn't do right in The Dark Knight Rises with the Bane Batman dynamic in terms of size and all that. This guy looked like Bane compared to Batman.
Yeah.
In the terms of that fight and their overall presence and all of that. Wesley Snipes is still big. That guy was huge.
Yeah. Heatwave is quite large.
Like,
so yeah.
When he's walking around with a fucking like that white shirt that's barely buttoned up right across his chest, and you just see these pecs like fucking coming out like man titties.
I was more amazed by the fact he had like a two-handed broadsword and he's just like one-handed whiffing it around. Yeah. I'm like, fucking hell!
I like how actually, I've got to give a Aaron Paul out, just the single Aaron Paul out to the props department as well in this.
Yeah.
Set designing and props was really clean.
CGI was really good as well, too. Really beautiful. Neat and tidy. I think there's a lot more practical than CG.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like face melting and stuff like that.
Well, like when he got the atrium scene where he got kicked across the atrium and hit the wall when the face went, you went, what the fuck's up with his face? I'm like, just wait a second.
Yeah.
Just wait a second. Then you see it. And then like even the makeup when he became the true Drake. When he becomes the true Drake. Yeah. It was scary, but it's nice to see they didn't bulk him out.
Book. It wasn't horror this time. I appreciated that more because he stopped trying to scare me and make me enjoy it.
Yeah, like the way they made him up was very, because I'm one of those people, like if I grew up with like wrestling and stuff, like I see big bulky dudes, that's kind of like eh. But you give me a skinny demon with a broadsword, that freaks me the fuck out.
Yeah,
like Dark Souls, I can't play.
Well, he kind of looked like the skin had been ripped off of him.
Yeah, like peeled. Yeah,
he'd been peeled.
But it'd been great, and then the jaw came out. It was just phenomenal. It was really good. It actually kind of looked very As a point of reference, Jim Henson-y. It's like the CGI was that it was fluid. It looked real, like something like if you had muscles attached, you could actually do something like that. So it was very Jim Henson puppeteering sort of.
Almost
look.
The like
what was the guy's name? Stan Winston.
Yeah, absolutely.
The Stan Winston stuff that you would see in a Clive Barker film.
Yep.
Or a Nightmare on Elm Street.
Yeah, absolutely.
I kind of like how they reference the Bram Stoker movie as well.
Oh, with the Dracula comic book and the Dracula store? Is that what we're talking about?
Yeah. Yeah. And like when Ryan Reynolds was explaining Drake to Blade, he was like, you know, Bram Stoker wrote a nice novel compared to what this guy is.
Well, I even like that when Drake and Blade have their first confrontation on the rooftop with the baby, he even says to him, he's like, didn't you read Stoker's story? Don't you know about me?
Yeah.
Like, it's like this motherfucker in, like, that serial killer level where it's like they read their own press and they're like, yes, good. Or they're like and, the Zodiac killer where they're like, no, let me write a letter and tell you why you're fucking wrong, mate.
And keep going, sorry, Matt.
Again, with the CG or CGI, how Drake looked when he was in his demon form.
Yeah.
It took me back to Bram Stoker's Dracula.
Yeah. Yep.
When you look at Vlad in his red battle armor, it sort of had that that evilness about it.
Yeah.
And I don't know if they did that intentionally, but that sort of being a huge vampire fan, that really brought it out to me as well. So I really enjoyed that.
One thing I did notice as well was when he held up the comic book. Did anyone notice who was the publisher of that comic book?
Marvel Comics.
Yeah.
Marvel.
So there's your little Marvel thing. And we finally got Stan Lee in the credits as well. We didn't get a cameo.
Executive producer Stan Lee.
Yeah, we didn't get a cameo.
No.
I love how pissed Drake looked when she brought out the dildo, the Dracula dildo. And like Drake just sort of looks at it as like, you're gonna fucking die for this.
It's a great movie. That was awesome. Really, it's phenomenal.
Yeah, I recommend it watch.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on to Honey Badger's question of the week. We're looking at one from last week. What do you got?
Badger the Badger. It was exceptionally good. I haven't got it written down, but from memory, I'll ad lib.
It was a superhero team up.
That's right, superhero team up. The DC and Marvel worlds have collided, and you essentially have to come up with a new dynamic duo
but
utilizing.
You can't take the major trinity.
Yeah, you can't take pretty much the Holy Trinity. The Holy Trinity was banned. So Marvel and DC have collided and, you get to make a new dynamic duo. We've got some really good responses, which I'm going to read out.
We've got some very good close ones, but a lot of people got close to the actual correct answer, which obviously I have.
They got about half of the correct answer.
They're not me, so they can't be right.
Okay. So we've got, I've chosen the six best out of, the 10 or so. I got some inboxes as well.
I said just give us all.
Give us all?
Give us all the answers. They all deserve to hear their answers.
Well, a lot of them were repeats. Okay. So, Kieran Gabriel Ross said Deadpool and Deathstroke, obviously. Be a very interesting pair. Yeah, very interesting. Very
good
comedy.
Combination.
And,
I don't know how they work together. I imagine it'd be good for Slade because he could kill the dude over and over, but at the same time, Slade would kill Deadpool a lot.
he'd
probably get more focused on killing Deadpool than whatever the mission was.
They'd eventually break up and then a movie would break out between the two of them. Matthew Crawford on Facebook said Black Adam and Black Bolt. He said the black on black is always a good look as well.
I like the fact he also gave a team name.
Yeah. Yeah.
I like that.
Yep. I actually had to research Black Bolt and he's actually one of the cooler little heroes. You've heard of him yet?
Certainly have.
Certainly have. Tell us about him.
You fuck.
No, Black Bolt, I don't know where his actual hometown's from. He's a hero who can't actually speak, because when he speaks, he essentially does what Banshee from X-Men does. He basically will just destroy things with sound waves that come out of his throat. You know, you could be referring to the directory on this one as well. It's probably easier to find.
He's a Marvel comic, not a DC hero.
Oh, he is too. He's
not part of the DC directory. You dumb fuck. Well, I don't have...
The Marvel mailbox?
What? That doesn't make any sense.
You don't make any sense. But no, he's actually quite an interesting little character. He's saved, I think it's Metropolis. I think he saved Metropolis before and Central City before by using his...
Yeah, he basically, his sound is such a sonic boom it can destroy the world.
Yeah.
And he's learnt to be silent even in his sleep.
Yep. Lachlan McBrearty said Nightwing and Hulk. His original answer was Batman and Hulk. And I said, no, Batman's banned. Sorry, buddy. Come
answer.
Up, and he goes, nah, alright, switch it out to Nightwing and Hulk. Batman's training in Nightwing and Hulk's strength, there's no real other match.
I'll counter that with the only problem you have there is that depending on which Hulk you get, there's a lot of like unpredictable factor, and that's going to come to play big time. Yeah. And I think that's the only problem there is that that's the too much of a loose cannon that you can't control.
I dare say being...
Especially for Batman being so calculating and always having a plan.
Yeah, well, I think... Well, it's Nightwing, well, it's Nightwing, so it doesn't matter. Yeah, it's Nightwing, so it doesn't matter, so you got the training. But I think with... I think Lachlan's about 19 to 20, so I think the main exposure would be the Hulk from... Yeah, our movie Hulk.
See, that Hulk's the worst for unpredictability because he runs.
Yeah, this is true.
Any chance you give that Hulk or Bruce Banner an open leash to run, he runs away.
This is true.
You'd get one good fight, and then you'd be like, oh, man.
But then again, it's Nightwing. He doesn't need an offsider. It's fine. It's okay. Isn't that your constant argument?
I'd like to see...
Nightwing doesn't need it.
I'd like to see Nightwing can Hulk and... fucking what's his name? Juggernaut run at each other.
You want to see who and who?
Hulk and Juggernaut
run at each other.
I imagine them hitting would literally be a sonic boom so hard it would break the earth.
Just split in half.
Because it would cause an instant earthquake.
Yeah.
And you would split the earth in half.
It'd be fucking awesome.
So we have... if you're going to go out with a bang.
Just keep talking. I'm going to see if they've ever actually...
Okay. We've got some... Jeff Molly Munt.
Munty's back in town.
B-Wannabeast and Crypto. Crypto, I know this is the Superman's dog, but B-Wannabeast, I've actually never heard of that one. Can someone enlighten me?
I'm familiar with him through the Brave and the Bold series, and he, I believe, has the powers to fuse two animals together to make a bigger, stronger animal.
Ah. Yeah, nah. That's horrible. we got a response from our Italian correspondent, Filippo. He says he doesn't know, but he wants to go with Hal Jordan and Peter Quill, Star-Lord himself. So Green Lantern and Star-Lord. And I think that'd be a very interesting combination, because Hal Jordan can be quite fun and quirky. And, Star-Lord's just, Star-Lord. So that's interesting. And I think... I can't pronounce this name right. Is it Calia Inglés? I think she...
Caligula.
Calia Inglés?
Calingla. Kalima.
Kalima? Kalima? Okay.
It's more with a bit more of a...
Kalima. Kalingla.
Of course, we're mucking around. It's the Mum Knight herself has written in and said, Captain America and Green Arrow. So, very interesting. Interesting combinations. So, what do we think of those guys?
Also, just to answer the question, Hulk is stronger than Juggernaut.
Yeah.
So the answer is they run into each other and Juggernaut fails.
Okay.
Cool.
All right. So you guys have had some time to marinate on this?
I'm going to let everybody else go first so I can come in at the end and give you the correct answer.
Can I take a guess at your answer?
When we get there.
I kind of struggled with this one because I was thinking, like, what could I do? Like I wanted like a really stupid team up that makes no sense.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm gonna go to DC villain instead. We were introduced to him lately. I wanted
Captain Cold,
Murmur.
Okay.
And Groot.
Which one was Murmur?
The one with his that doesn't have the mouth.
He sewed his mouth shut.
Forgot what he looks like as well. Just
it's
like.
Just a normal
the one that can't talk and one that says right, I am
he
brutal.
He chose not to talk because they beat a confession out of him, so in prison he said. But I think it'd be hilarious because Groot only says Groot and Murmur doesn't say anything.
He'd probably just get frustrated with Groot.
Yeah, yeah, and shoot Groot, then Groot regrows and then shoot, yeah.
Solomon Grundy and Groot would be another good team up that wouldn't be able to talk.
Actually, yeah, that's very, yep, absolutely. Because I forgot completely about Solomon Grundy, but no, that's Murmur.
Groot and Groot?
So, yeah, Groot and Murmur, sorry.
Groot and Groot.
Someone a hyper-intelligent ape and a tree. After a while, like, Groot has a couple of drinks, tries to climb tree. Groot, falls over, Groot snaps in half.
It'd be interesting to see if he could control the mind of Groot.
That'd be interesting. No. I have this weird feeling like, for some strange reason, Groot's mind is just simple on that level.
I actually think Groot's mind is beyond...
What if Groot met Poison Ivy?
Groot...
They'd bone.
They'd bone. They would have sex.
He would grow a dick limb.
You mean that would branch?
They would root.
They would branch.
They would root. Well done, Braden.
Pun of the week. Congratulations, sir. Braden, what do you got, buddy?
Yeah, I struggled with this as well. So I actually thought I might go with Iron Man and Cyborg. Purely just because Cyborg could just hack into Iron Man and control him.
That's fair.
So you don't want to see Ray Palmer and Iron Man team up and compare each other's suits or anything?
Well, they're essentially the same character.
Nothing would get done if those...
High-five each other constantly.
Hey, technology! Clang!
And then, like, fucking Tony would be like, you know, I could probably come up with something to cure that pink eye.
It's like a 2-hour movie of Ray getting his pink eye sorted out. Yeah, great. Pink eye, the movie. Pink eye and the plane.
I fixed it for you, Ray. It's a piece of Felicity's poo.
Oh, better than Iron Man 3. Yeah. We need to do this on Stitcher.
Oh god,
Twitch, you mean?
Not Stitcher, Twitch.
Yeah, don't worry. I'm investigating that for later.
All right, Matt, who's your team up?
I'm actually going to go with something sort of relevant to this week's film. I'm going to go with Blade and Arrow.
Bit of the black on white action.
Interesting.
Nice. Bit of the Oreo
cookie. I would more think of them as Turk and JD super friends.
Yeah. Yeah. That's exactly what I was thinking. Like when I was thinking about it, I'm like, oh my god, it's fucking Scrubs. But yeah, I think that would work well together because of all his training plus his gadgets and as well as Blade's training and his gadgets. So I think it would just be, rather than like superhero like or superpowers, it would be like just training and weaponry.
Yeah, that would actually be a good combo. Sword and a bow as well, so you had a distance and an up close.
Mm-hmm.
We almost got a peek of that with I would almost say, you know, yeah, Blade and Thea Queen.
Mm.
In Trinity.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Alright. On to the correct answer. Now, Terry.
Yes.
I'll let you to answer this, but first, I'll only tell you for right if you get the team name correct. Because I also gave a team name to mine.
You gave a team name.
You have
name.
To. If you're going to have a team up,
yep.
The one thing I learned in wrestling, if you're going to have a team up that's going to stick longer than a few weeks, you need a name. You'd be around for months, then you may even get a run with the titles. Who's my tag team?
Dick Grayson. Deadpool.
Yep.
And the team name?
I can't. Either Deadwing or Nightpool.
Okay, you're wrong. The answer is Dead Knight, a team of Nightwing and Deadpool. And the reason that is the perfect team is that you have the perfect tactician in Nightwing.
Yeah.
He's also jokey and upbeat and humorous, which Deadpool would love to get along with and he'd probably take orders from because Nightwing would be able to converse on Deadpool's level.
Yeah.
You have Deadpool who's fucking unkillable. He can just send in to take all the armory and take it down while Nightpool's doing all the stealth shit to actually
Nightpool? You mean Nightwing?
Nightwing's doing all the stealth.
This is why you don't have team names.
Nightwing's
getting
all the background work to do what needs to be done to shut it down while Deadpool's basically your one-man infantry taking care of shit.
Mm.
Also, Deadpool can teleport, which makes him fucking epic to be able to bounce around places and do whatever you need to do. And I just think, in terms of, for me, if I'm gonna watch a film or read a comic of a team-up, I want it to be enjoyable.
Mm.
And two goofy-ass characters, one of whom has two other voices in his head... That's the perfect combination. Because imagine you're reading a comic or watching a film, right?
Mm-hmm.
With Nightwing, who you know is going to be jokey, but or Neil Patrick Harris, like, he's going to be jokey, but he's to be serious.
Yeah.
Where you've got a guy who's breaking the fourth wall and talking to you as the audience, while Nightwing is like, who the fuck are you talking to? That's something I want to watch.
Yeah.
Shut up and take my money.
Yeah.
Dead Knight wins.
Dead Knight.
Fair enough.
So Dead Knight is the correct answer.
All right,
so cool. A lot of people got close.
Yep.
But Dead Knight all the way.
All right, so here's a question for you. Who are we picking as a winner this week out
me.
Of our... Not you.
I was the only one that was right.
Out of our listeners, out of the six, we have Kieran with Deadpool and Deathstroke. We've got Matthew Crawford with Black Adam and Black Bolt with a creative name, Black Black. Lockie with Nightwing and Hulk. We've got Jeff Munt, but I, quite frankly, the prize, we can't really get to him because it's an illegal substance. Filippo Frante with Peter Quill and Hal Jordan, or the Mum Light, who has inside track, so should be banned, with Captain America and Green Arrow.
The two that I like best, I'll let you guys get to which ones you like best, we'll see. The two that really stood out to me were Deadpool and the Hulk.
Yep.
But ultimately, he gave a tag name.
You mean Nightwing and Hulk?
Nightwing and Hulk. Mm-hmm. That was a very good combination. Mm-hmm. But Black and Black, he gave it a tag team name.
So we're going for Mr. Crawford?
Well, that's my answer. What do you guys think? That's my vote ultimately goes to Mr. Crawford.
Yeah. All right. Braden?
I'll lean towards Filippo with Peter Quill and Hal Jordan.
Oof.
That is a fun adventure.
That's actually
That's a very fun adventure.
Star Lantern? Green Star? Mm.
Star Lantern? Green Lord?
Yeah, I was...
Lantern Lord.
Lord Lantern.
Wow. Filippo has won.
I'm gonna late jump onto Braden's and go with Filippo as well.
Now this is unfortunate because we're gonna have a tie break because I'm going for Mr. Crawford. I like the fact he used unusual heroes in Black Adam and Black Bolt, and came up with a name as well, Black Black. Oh no, it's Black Black. So there you go.
It's a tie
between Lantern Lord and Black Black. It's gonna come down to team names. I'm still leaning towards Crawford on this one.
We need a tiebreaker.
We need a tiebreaker.
Well, I'm not going to lie here, because we don't need a tiebreaker, because Adam is going to just fucking choose it, and he's going to pull out some bullshit that he's the leader, so he counts for two votes or something like that.
You know, I hadn't thought of that, but that's a damn good answer. Does anybody have a coin? Have a coin?
I do.
Okay.
All right. I have one.
All right, Matt.
What have you got?
Okay, flip it first, put your hand over the top. All right, it's
got it.
All right. Heads Lockie, tails Filippo.
Crawford, you mean? Matt Crawford.
Sorry.
Black.
Sorry. Heads Matt Crawford with Black.
Yep.
Tails Filippo.
Yep.
What do we
got? The winner is of this coin toss. The tiebreaker is Filippo.
Oh, Mr. Cosplay himself. Well done.
Congratulations,
well done.
Sir. Congratulations.
There'll be we'll get in contact with you on Facebook, because there'll be a prize coming all the way out to Italy to you. And it's not just the sultry tones of our voice ear molesting you to sleep.
While you do your exams, best of luck, good sir, as well.
Are we going to have like a 6-disc fold out or something? Of the episodes,
it's a photo of my dick.
It's a signed cast photo.
It's it's big. I need to wrap it up in one of those large poster folders because it's actual size.
Like an yeah, it's life size.
He's gonna need a 3-story house to hang this picture.
In fact, they have those in Italy already because you look like Jesus. So
that is true. The Vatican. I think I can walk into the Vatican and be like, "You're in my house, bro." And if they're like, "What proof you got?" I'd be like, "All the fucking pictures." Look around you! That is me! And they'll be like, why are you with Chad Kroeger? I'll be like, he's not Chad Kroeger! He's my probie! Everybody thinks this. Why would Jesus travel with Chad Kroeger? He's the devil!
Chad Kroeger's a fuckwit.
Oh, God. All right. So congratulations, Filippo Frate.
Have we got a question for next week, Badger?
Yeah, so Badger the Badger. The question for this week is right in. Email, however... Courier pigeon, I don't care.
If you want to email, just jump in here. I'll jump in here with the way you can contact us.
Yes,
which I'll once again go over at the end. You can contact us at facebook.com/fromthebatcavepodcast or twitter.com/frombatcave.
Cool.
Or you can email us at fromthebatcavepodcast@gmail.com.
Excellent. Thank you very much.
That's fromthebatcave.podcast@gmail.com.
I apologize. fromthebatcave.podcast@gmail.com.
So what I want from...
from the Backcave podcast at gmail.com.
From what Facebook. I want...
Facebook.com/fromthebackcave.
From what I want from the...
Twitter.com from...
The crew here. And anyone who's listening, in one sentence, tell me, pick one of the TV shows that we review, Flash, Gotham, or Arrow. In one sentence, tell me what you would fix about it to make next season great. There are conditions.
I'll get you one better. What do you fix to make next season win an Emmy?
Ooh, yes. There are conditions, though. There are conditions. With Gotham?
No Batman, Wonder Woman, or Superman.
There are conditions. Gotham? You can't bring back Fish?
Well, you're trying to make the show better.
Flash? You can't bring back Eddie. And Arrow? You can't break up Felicity.
Oh, come on!
Yeah, that's too easy. I was going to say, you can't kill Felicity. That's... All right. This is going to take some working, but okay.
That's... Marinate it for a week. Let it marinate.
That's a good question. And to answer those questions, you can go to facebook.com/fromthebatcave, twitter.com/frombatcave, or email us at fromthebatcave.podcast@gmail.com. That's fromthebatcave.podcast@gmail.com. Sorry, what was that, Brayden?
Twitter.com/fromthebatcave.
Facebook.com/fromthebatcave.
That question will be up on our Facebook page.
fromthebatcave.podcast@gmail.com.
That question will be up on our Facebook page at the top, and the Mum Night will put that on Twitter.
That's twitter.com/fromthebatcave.
we need to create some more
emails
or email accounts or something else. Like, we need a MySpace, we need a
on YouTube.
Yeah, and you can also get a facebook.com/fromthebatcave, twitter.com/fromthebatcave, email us at fromthebatcave.podcast@gmail.com.
Hashtag from the Batcave podcast.
podcast@gmail.com.
/Facebook.
Oh, God.
Facebook.com/fromthebat. Anyway, has anybody else anything else they would like to address, or has anybody got anything from their bat sack for this week?
Are we keeping the surprise to ourselves just amongst the four of us? Well, that's coming over the couple months. We'll keep that to ourselves, or are we going to start leaking information like a good little DC bunch
if,
that we are?
If you want to put out a mild teaser press release right now.
It's been mentioned a couple of times.
I'll lay.
It's been mentioned a couple of times.
I'll allow you to put out a little teaser.
Well, you know, we might be going live. Like live. Proper live.
Quite possibly we could be going live from the Batcave, that's true.
It's there's a little teaser for you. We're doing some research and our R&D department.
You've tickled some balls there.
That's exactly. Our R&D department is... We've farmed some more gimps and broken some more mines, so our R&D...
Well, Matt's bringing back an army.
And a cow. So our R&D has been working really hard. So that's a little bit of a teaser for you folks.
I like it. I like it. All right. Well, nothing else from anybody to say? Shall we wrap this one up for the week?
Please,
sounds good to me.
Put a bow on the sun, bitch.
All right. Well, gentlemen, it's been a pleasure talking with you once again. So you can contact us and interact with us at facebook.com/fromthebatcave or twitter.com/fromthebatcave. See, on Twitter, you have less words, so I took one out for a bit of playful fun. Yeah. twitter.com/fromthebatcave. Or you can email us at Brayden, what is it?
I forgot.
It's fromthebatcave.podcast@gmail.com. That's fromthebatcave.podcast@gmail.com. Until next week, I've been your host, Adam Gerard, Red Thunder. And joining me this week, I've had the Honey Badger, Terry O'Neill.
I found somewhere to go.
The Dad Knight, Brayden Ahern.
fromthebatcave.podcast@gmail.com.
And Matt the Preview Richards.
Coming back from the Island of Shoe or Island of Poo or Island of fucking anything else that you make up at the spot, I'll be back next week.
The Island of Fu Manchu.
Fu Manchu.
Mr. CrossFit fucking loves 7 Heavens, so right now he's had to excuse himself. The salmon.
I can hear it like mumbling undertone of whatever you guys are saying, but it's just like outside, yeah.
Sing. This has been a Cabana production.
3, 2, 1.
I was just going to say, when I was talking to him as well, he goes, Oh, do you guys banter at all? And I'm like, that's pretty much all we fucking do. And he's like, good. He goes, because he's listened to other ones and they've got no personality, no chemistry between them. He goes, I want to hear it.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what I think our show does well, is we're funny because we're four guys. We have a topic and a way of running and it sounds professional, yet somehow within this professional we're just like, are you fucking retarded? Like, legitimately, what happened to you?
It's like four...
I thought vaccinations work. You're making me think I should be anti-vax. That's how dumb you are.